The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. It's Eric, and Eric's here. I can't believe it. And Andy and Paul.
You know Eric's here because he's screwing with his mic.
Yeah, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Stop it. And Kevin's in the booth. We're here until 2 o'clock.
As a stadium and as a team, 1. What billion? We can't get a microphone that works.
I think this is going to be a big show.
I do too.
Paul and I were already screaming at each other in
you
the Patriots locker room.
You were punching your hand in front of him like you were going
to
hit him.
At one point, I thought I was going to have to go to HR. Andy, I'm glad you noticed that.
Guys, I thought we're belly to belly.
You know, so it's going to be so
like an umpire and a manager.
Lots
fight.
To I'm talk like, about. Everybody's like jacked up on Mountain Dew and caffeine. I don't know what's going on. You know, the Patriots put up a 50 burger. Against the Colts.
A 50 burger?
That's what they call it. I heard some people on the Twitter calling
Who's
it
they?
That. You know, just
the
some
lame
people.
Guys on NFL Network.
Yeah.
A 50 burger?
They call
what does
it,
that mean?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
So if it's a 50 burger, is it a 60 sub? I mean, what?
I don't know. I don't
like
get
if it gets, it's become a burger. I don't, anyway.
40 hot dogs.
There's a lot to talk about. Starting off with a big win by the Patriots. Just, you know, after I think a rocky start.
Nothing gets by you when a rookie quarterback drives 80 yards twice.
I think this game, while it wasn't like the first Buffalo game, you know, because that one, you know, had some more dips. I think in terms of how it ended, I think it was a lot like that. And, you know, the Patriots turned it on in the second half. But that first half, everything was in question.
Well, first quarter in particular.
Yeah.
They were down twice.
Even at halftime. You know, I think I said to you, if you told the Colts that, you know, they were going to give up an interception and a punt return and still be in the game, I think they would have said, okay, well, you know, we kind of took their shots and now we're going to come back.
Right, because there wasn't really any clear evidence after two quarters that the Patriots would stop that pass.
Well, but it was the same old thing. They kept scoring.
Right.
They always score.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about when they just bludgeon people to death with their offense, especially a guy like Luck. You know, he scored 30 points once in his career. You know, he's thinking, just always score. And now they're scoring on defense and special teams. How the hell am I going to keep up with this?
Right.
And he couldn't.
Yeah. Well, but there was that point in the first half where the Patriots didn't keep pace. You know, they fell behind early and
7-0. They didn't have a chance to keep pace.
Yeah, they fell behind because the other team won the toss.
Because they defer. That's what they do.
We won the toss and deferred.
But there was that one point where I think the Colts went up 14-7.
Yeah. Right.
And then the Patriots didn't answer right away.
Well, yeah, they missed a field goal.
Right, and then a lot
I
of
still consider that an answer.
Right, but I mean, then,
they drove 70
but,
yards.
But a lot of people on the blog was like, "That's it, Patriots didn't keep up. It's over."
I really wonder about your people on that blog.
Oh, they are. Like,
I don't know how they can be
they are so
passionately.
Squeamish. They are so squeamish.
I don't know how they can be such passionate Patriots fans and then think that like that game was really ever in doubt.
And it's not like they haven't seen this game before. They've seen it millions of times.
Yeah. Well, and that's
now,
what
I think there were reasons to be worried early. All, you know, same old stuff. But in terms of losing the game,
right.
They were never even, like, I don't even – close isn't even enough of a word. They were never even in trouble in that game, not even for one split second of losing the game. For, like Fred
the
made
only
a comment,
time you're in trouble
Fred,
is if
do you mind if I
sucks.
Use your Adam Vinatieri line?
Go ahead.
Like Fred, you know, he Adam Vinatieri lines up for a 58-yard field goal on the last play of the first half, and he just missed it. And Fred looked at it and he said, you know, there was actually a part of me that kind of was hoping that he made that.
Right.
And we all smiled and said, yeah, because we all love Adam and all that stuff. But I looked at Fred, I said, yeah, because you know that there's no chance the Patriots are going to lose this game. And Fred smiled and said, yeah,
right.
Exactly. And Fred's 1,000% right. It was a 7-point game. It would have made it a 4-point game. But you knew there was no right. chance. Like Andy said, no chance Andrew Luck was going to be able to score 40 points in that game, and that's what it would have taken to win.
The only way you ever get worried is if he scores 14 and you go 3-and-out a couple times. Then you go, oh, maybe yeah. they just don't have it on offense today, but they moved the ball every time they had the ball.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they had one
drive where they got a first down and then they punted.
That was like their sixth drive of the game.
Oh, yeah. No, this I mean, is well
not
into
when
the
these
game.
Fans were squeamish because right. it was 14-7.
No, I know. And like,
and they've seen this game. That's what I don't get is like, don't you learn? It's going to be 38. Even if the worst-case scenario, it's going to be 37-31, 38-31. We're going to win.
And the other part of it is I think that fans are sort of unrealistic in their expectations of improvement on defense. Like, I think that, you know, the game opens up and the other team completes three or four passes and moves down the field, and they're like, well, another week. We didn't do any improvement. Like, it's not going to all of a sudden be an 85 Bears blank. You know, the other team's just going to get shut down. The Patriots cannot do that. There's
very few teams can do that.
Only a handful of teams in the league capable of doing that.
That's correct.
And the Patriots
it's
aren't
a small
one of
hand,
them.
Too.
The Patriots are not one of those teams that plays defense like that. They're not going to do that.
Right.
So
no, the hope is you get back to 2007, that you're good enough to allow the offense to build leads and then you take advantage on defense mm-hmm. and start making plays. That's the
and
hope.
And that you can hold teams to under right. 21 points
so
or 17 points.
That ain't going to happen. Yeah. It's just not going
to
happen.
It might. They got Tlaib, the savior.
No, I you know, Paul's absolutely right with the Vinatieri thing. If I thought that was going to make a difference and would put the game in jeopardy, of
you
course,
would yell,
yeah.
"Break his effing leg!"
Right,
and that's why.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I asked you before I said it. Yeah. If you know, because I don't want you to, you know, feel like I was setting you up. I wasn't.
No, absolutely. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Aqib Tlaib comes in. I would say he was okay. If I were to give him a grade for the game, I'd give him like a B, maybe a B minus. But you know, he made a play. It's like writing
well,
a script.
He made that
know?
Play, but he also was very close on a couple of the other ones. Like the first touchdown he gave up was literally centimeters away from him tapping it away.
It was a good route. Guy got a step on him.
Yeah.
Perfect throw.
I mean, it was a good receiver. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Perfect.
Not everybody's T.Y. Hilton.
Sixth round rookies.
Well, but it was.
I'm being sarcastic. I said to you in the press box, he was close. He was looking for the ball.
I
he
actually
was right
found.
There.
I mean,
his
Luck
comments.
Made a great pass. It was right there on the money.
I found his comments interesting. You know, after the game, talking about breaking down his own play, like
very specific
on that specific play.
Yeah. Describe the whole thing.
Because I kind of looked
that
at
that won't
the
last
same,
long.
I think we all looked at it the know. Same way. I looked at it the way Eric and Andy did. You know, watching. Well, you know, it was a quick, you know, inside move, and he dove, and he just missed it. But you know, listening to him talk about it, he played it all wrong.
Right, but the reason
I thought
he missed
was interesting.
It is because he widened, he said.
Yeah.
So he's still a step off.
He got beaten to the inside, and he said he couldn't do that or something like that.
No, he said the guy faked to the outside. I widened
and
with him.
And he bit on
him.
Right, he did.
Right. So that's why you're a step late. You don't bite on that, then you knock that ball
which
down.
I was,
right.
you know, which I was, I thought that was interesting that he would, you know, sort of admit that.
Yeah. I love
stop
that.
Being interesting in 3 weeks.
I mean, that gives us a little bit of insight.
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah. I thought less of it after listening to him talk about it. I just kind of thought, well, he was there, and he dove, and he didn't make the play, but. You know, the reason why he didn't make the play is because he got beat, which I thought was interesting. That's
which
all.
Just goes to show if you know he's telling us the truth, I have no reason to believe he's not, that how much of a game of not even inches it is in the NFL now. He makes one small little technique move, and he almost still makes the play, but he gets beat for a touchdown.
Right, and you know it just shows that pass had to be there. The pass was perfect. And when that pass is there, if all it takes is that one step and you're beat. And that's why, as Andy said, and I agree, it's one of the toughest positions in sports is that cornerback position.
And then in the other one, the long touchdown he gave up, he admitted too, he peeked into the backfield, was looking at Luck.
All the fans that want him to turn his head, he turned his head.
Thank you, Andy Hart.
That was, would you say at that time, maybe they had let down a little bit, you know, kind of games in hand. I don't know.
I don't know. He just said he got caught peeking.
Yeah.
Basically.
All right, so
can I be sarcastic, smarmy, snarky, Paul?
I don't know.
For
you sometimes struggle to pull it off.
we're quick to say that, you know, maybe they had let up on that play, you know. So, what'd you think of the Dennard interception?
Dennard interception.
It was a bad throw by Locke. Here's
my point.
Well, it was right to him.
But here's my point. We dismissed.
So was the Tlaib interception.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We dismiss the offensive plays that are made once the game is out of hand. But we don't forget about the defensive plays that are made after the game is out of hand. Why? Like,
I think he's talking to you.
Dennard. No, I'm saying we. I'm not saying Fred.
I'm not saying those were great plays.
No, either one of them. But I just think it's
I think amazing
the, I think
that
the majority
you bring
of the
guy
Colts
in
yards,
and like you write a script, he has a pick six.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
whenever it came, it's just
I'm not
funny
talking
that
about,
that
no,
happened.
The Tlaib thing was that was an unbelievable return. The game was 14-14 at that time.
Yeah.
That wasn't a garbage interception.
No,
he didn't do anything. Picked it off.
Exactly.
But the return,
Wilson interception.
The return was amazing.
The return was amazing.
That was not just easy 60-yard interception.
The pick was
return.
A 15-yard completion that went awry.
It probably ended up being like a 120-yard interception.
That was a
return.
Deion Sanders.
Oh, yeah, that's
return.
One of those that,
that was
some
special.
Guys can't make.
That was a special
I don't even
play.
I mean, in terms of conditioning. Some guys run out of gas on those because Eric's right. You run this way and then you run this way.
He
covered most of the field.
He ran about 50 yards across the field and then 50 yards back, and it covered 60 yards.
Right. And didn't it seem
scrimmage.
Like he never was running that fast? Like he was just sort of kind of gliding.
Yeah. Well, he is one of those. He's a little longer.
Yeah,
he's got a little
exactly.
of that Mossian thing to him.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make was just that I think that we are very quick to dismiss any yardage that is allowed after a certain point, but we didn't. You know, how many turnovers did we force on Sunday? Yeah, well, three interceptions, right? You know, four turnovers. You know, half of the turnovers were when it was 45-24. But they all count, you know, is my point. And I thought, really, the Patriots' defense was better late in the game than it was early in the game.
Certainly.
Well, yeah.
You know, so, but everybody is saying that. Like, the defense really improved during the course of the game.
Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
I think you got both kinds of Andrew Luck. I think early, you got Andrew Luck, the good Andrew Luck, and later you got the guy that's off and isn't a throw to...
But we're often outside the box when it comes to the mainstream analysis. I'm not necessarily seeing the four of us because we all talked about it after the game.
The offense created that.
Absolutely.
Game. I mean, let's face it.
But you didn't read a lot of stuff and hear a lot of stuff in the postgame about how the defense, you know, after a rocky start, Belichick. How many times did you hear this over the last day and a half? Belichick went over with the whiteboard with the defense after the second touchdown. Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, he may have, but he does that every game.
Yeah, I know, but people are extrapolating from that things,
he did it after the
things
first
changed.
Too.
Things didn't really change. Andy's right. Luck got inaccurate after that. I mean, that's what changed. The offense got the lead, like you said.
No, he's never inaccurate.
And Luck made some bad throws after that.
Hall of Famer.
Now I said earlier, you know, because there's, they dialed up the blitz a lot more in that game, and I inaccurately said, well, I don't think they blitz any more until, you know, they were comfortably in the lead, and then they put more pressure. But somebody else said that, you know, they did, in fact, even when things were close, send more guys than they usually do. And maybe that's the case. But
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah.
Who said that, though? I think
when the score got out of hand, they jacked it.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I
didn't really either. But I'm with you, Freddie.
I didn't think they sent that many more times than the Rams game, for
example. Now, they were successful.
Yeah.
They got good. I thought they did it. Even though they only had one sack in this game, this was the first game that I can think of all year, other than maybe that Rams game, that they actually got some pressure on the quarterback.
Because
I think the pass rush has been completely non-existent. They either get a sack or they don't get anywhere near the quarterback.
The only thing I saw
on Sunday, they got around the quarterback a lot.
Well, I was looking at the game yesterday. The only thing I saw in the beginning was sometimes they sent five guys instead of four. You know, they might have sent like spikes.
Well,
or
to me,
Mayo
that's
a
blitz
times.
In Patriots land.
Well,
that's
a
blitz everywhere.
Right.
That might have been what people were referring to, was that sending more.
Well,
it was one more guy.
And if that's the case, like I said, I was wrong when I said I didn't really. It didn't feel to me like they were sending any more pressure than they usually do.
But I think
maybe they were
this year.
You know,
it hasn't always gotten there.
Yeah.
I think they've sent spikes or Mayo, one or the other, sometimes both.
We've seen spikes several times do that
pretty
little cheat
regular.
Up at the line of scrimmage
and then
miss.
Yeah. And he struggled in that on Sunday. He had the one that he flushed Luck out of the pocket over to the side where Ninkovich was, but he got stoned a lot coming up the middle.
Sometimes.
Absolutely. That's why I think you have to do it. Because you can't just blitz once or twice and say, oh, now I'm dialing it up. You better get there. No, you know, it's like anything else. You got to kind of getting a rhythm.
And you're getting guys to man up, or you're hoping they make a mistake. Part of it is hoping they make a
mistake. And you're making the quarterback think about it.
Well, more important than that, I think you're making the offensive line think as much as anything.
Especially in a line like that.
Yeah, and maybe that helps you. It doesn't get Spikes free, but maybe in a great case scenario, it gets Jones free, even though he got hurt, but your best pass rusher free, or one-on-one instead of how they were going to, you know, it changes things.
Yeah. So Chandler Jones goes out fairly early. I think he could have come back in if he had
to. He looked fine.
You know.
Just never came back.
Yeah, he got retaped. He went in the locker room. I'm guessing they went to give him some x-rays.
Yeah.
He came back out, but then he didn't come back out in the second half.
Right.
He came back out in the first half, watched the rest of the half, and then when they went in the locker room, he didn't come back
maybe
out.
He had swelled up or
the
something.
Second half.
Got all swole.
But maybe they were trying to save him for this week. Maybe they're trying to give him this week off. Who knows? But
yep.
Could be true. Maybe the game started to go where they said, we don't need to rush him back.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, the big injury, Rob Gronkowski breaks his forearm, reportedly during the last point after. Of course, there's a lot of controversy. Why is he out there for that play? You know, pick your side. You know, I'm sure we'll get emails and calls about that.
I mean, you have to be fair here. He was out there against the Rams when they were kicking extra points late in the game. He was out there against Buffalo when they were scoring 50-whatever points.
Well, that's what they do.
He just happened to get hurt in this one.
Right.
But more often than not, those guys are out there on PAT, even when they get yanked from the game.
And you don't notice it.
Right.
I think the only reason people noticed it was because he got hurt.
Yeah,
and they said, when did he get hurt? It was on an extra point. And then people realized he was out there on an extra point.
I can't argue with the extra point.
Yeah, it just happened. It's unfortunate. It's just bad. Yeah, it's bad luck.
I mean, I think, and you and I have battled on this a million times, Freddie, I don't see the need and I don't see the benefit of playing your starters deep into the fourth quarter. And they did that. But on an extra point, I think Andy and Eric are right. What are you going to do? You put your extra point team on the field when you score a touchdown.
And usually on an extra point block, when it's that late in the game and the game is that far gone, usually the extra point rush team isn't really doing its damnedest to get there to try to block the extra point.
Right.
Exactly.
Greg Schiano coach.
Sergio Brown was acting like this was the Super Bowl for him, and you know, he was out there.
The game
going,
is for him. So.
It might be. True.
Especially after that false start penalty on the punt.
It might be. And that's.
He may have
cost
his team the game. How's that sound?
Dangerous.
It seems even freaky, though. I mean, if. I know a lot of people took the still frame of that play and saying that's when it happened. But, he comes around the edge there and kind of, I don't know, did he pin
it
his arm
like,
against
no,
him?
Or no, it just it's the left arm.
Right, right.
When you're out there, you got a guy on your outside and you got a guy to the inside you got to protect. And it's that guy that you get a weird.
Okay.
You can't see that much, but you see a weird.
It just looks like his arm goes back this way. It's almost like he threw his shoulder in and just got pushed back.
But you would think like his shoulder or his elbow would get hurt. How do you break a forearm?
I don't know. It could have just been.
Maybe he had a weak spot.
Yeah, maybe.
And drink his milk.
Who knows? Maybe the guy's, maybe Brown's knee or something. Like, I don't know. It could have just been like the lucky angle at which he got hit that it just.
So everyone seems to have a source when it comes to this injury. I guess he had surgery yesterday morning at Mass General Hospital.
Oh, Bill had no idea.
You know, they put, what they say?
Completely in the dark about
that. I heard reports about 7 pins that they put in it. I mean, I don't know anything about broken bones and pins, but is 7 a lot?
Is it not a lot?
The
only thing I'm able to glean from all this is that nobody seems to think he's done for the year.
Right.
Everyone
right.
seems to think he's going to come back, whether it's playoffs, you know, end of December, early December. Who knows? But it doesn't sound like he's going to be gone like Junior Seau was when he had
some
the
people
same
are saying it'll be closer to 4 weeks. Other people are saying, eight.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows?
I would if I was telling people yesterday that were messaging me, I was saying mentally prepare yourself for the playoffs. And if it's any sooner than that, then consider yourself lucky.
Would you bring him back before the playoffs?
Would I bring him back? If he
just
was
not on PAT.
If he was 100%. Yeah. If he was 100%, the doctor said he's ready to go, I would. I wouldn't hold him back. I wouldn't.
Oh, I wouldn't hold him back. Yeah. I'm fine with playing him.
I'd wait for the playoffs.
Even if he's 100%?
I don't think he'll be 100%.
Well, that's the... Okay. that's the question. If he's not, then I'd hold him back.
Right.
Yeah. I don't bring him back just to bring him back,
Don't rush him like they did Hernandez.
No, absolutely not. But going forward, this game...
It's twice you stated my argument perfectly for me, Andy.
Well, I mean, clearly, we all knew Hernandez wasn't healthy. I mean, it was obvious the second he stepped on the field. I don't think it'll be, quite as obvious with a left forearm. That's hard to tell, blocking-wise, whatever. But as soon as he's healthy, I want him back out there. That's why I pay him. It's especially I might need him. He might be in a dogfight trying to get a number two seed here. I mean, it could be a game that means something.
I'm actually less concerned about how he's going to respond catching the ball because his hands are fine.
It's after he catches
it. No, well, it's blocking.
Yeah, that too.
Because that's the case where he could re-injure himself, or the risk is probably there a little bit more when he goes to try to block somebody.
Plus, he won't be lifting as much for a while.
Or if he goes to stiff arm, you know, yeah. I have. What are you staring at?
Just another gadget on TV. So how is this offense going to be without Rob Gronkowski?
Good.
Yeah?
I think it'll be fine.
Now, the issue is if Welker goes down and Hernandez isn't ready to come back. If all of those things stay issues, the three best guys.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming Hernandez is going to come back. You know, I know that's a dangerous assumption that we've been making for a couple weeks now. And he was walking around. Did you see him in the locker room? He had a little bit of a Fred Kirsch look on.
I did see him
sneakers, white socks, a little bit higher than they should be on his calf, and then just black spandex shorts on, walking around like an old retired man on the beaches of Florida or something. But I mean, don't you think that's enough? You're kind of swapping one elite receiver for another, theoretically.
Yeah, it's not ideal, obviously, because I do think he's the most important out of those guys, and we all agree on that. But I'm with Andy here overall because there's too much.
And it's not like the Lions losing Calvin Johnson.
Too much. Yeah.
Where it's like the one focal point.
And you have to at least try to count your blessings in that if they were going to lose Gronkowski, they're lucky in the fact that it's on a week when it looks like Hernandez is going to come back. Right. So at least you're not missing both of your top tight ends.
And in time to theoretically get him for when it matters.
Right.
You know, it's not the AFC Championship game where he's done for the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'd feel a little bit better if our guards were healthy and the running game was a little bit more consistent at this point.
Well, yeah.
You know,
but just like the Jets would feel better if Darrell Revis was playing.
It seems a little like they're having a little bit of a problem getting that push on running plays.
Well, Paul brought that up. Is it them or is Ridley hitting a wall in the locker room? Just sort of pondered.
Hitting a wall in the locker room?
Yeah, that. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, that's a lot of carries for him.
Yeah.
You know, he only had really one big carry year at LSU, and now he's in the NFL in his first big carry year. Maybe he's getting worn down.
He's you know, more than doubled his carries from last year. So
when does Bolden come back?
Two more weeks.
Houston week?
Okay. 2 more weeks of vacation.
But then he's gonna be rusty.
And if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's just suspended now or hurt and suspended.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because he can't even come here to rehab.
You mean physically? I mean, mentally,
right.
I'm sure.
While he's suspended.
He can't have any contact.
That's what I mean.
If he came, like, people would just have to pretend he's not there.
Just ignore him the whole time.
Were you surprised at all that Danny Woodhead didn't get a touch last game? No, not at all?
I mean, he was in there. It's
I was
like
a little surprised
play.
Only because he didn't.
He's in there, yeah.
You know, not that they didn't need him, so I wasn't overly surprised. They moved the ball so well. If they got bogged down and then he didn't get any touches, then, yeah. But he's been effective in small doses lately, and it was a little surprising to see him not get one ball thrown his way. Yeah,
I heard some criticism of the Patriots after they released Deion Branch, brought up Salas, and then didn't do anything with Salas. You know, why did they have to release Branch if they weren't going to use Salas at all? I think the answer is Branch was injured, right? Welker had gone down, then they would have had to use Salas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious.
Right.
That's my feeling.
It was more insurance than anything else. It wasn't any disrespect to Deion Branch.
Plus, they also wanted to give Julian Incredelman his opportunities, and he did well with them.
And we haven't even talked about him. What a game. A game for the ages for him. You know, why do you have that smirk?
As Fred screamed in the middle of the press box.
Because I'm waiting for one of you to poo-poo it.
What's there to poo-poo?
I don't know.
I mean, I could bring up the little screen pass that he tried to throw to the other team for an interception, but I won't.
Okay. I figured somebody would have something to say.
But, I mean, what's to poo-poo? I mean, he had two long punt returns. He had a long run on an end-around, and he made 5 catches and made yards after those catches.
Sure.
I'll be back. I'm going to go check in on Brady.
Okay.
Okay. Good call. All right.
The only thing I'll poo-poo is his post-game attitude. He's one of the more cranky, dour guys after a big game.
Well, he's consistent. He doesn't talk.
I think he's trying to, like, be the team guy and not blow himself on that day. And you, like, kind of get – but it comes off as a DB. He comes off as a total bad guy. And I don't think that's what you want to do either. There's got to be some sort of a happy medium. You know, Gronk defers. Gronk doesn't say I'm great, but he does it somehow with a smile and you're left saying, what a nice guy.
And Gronk has started now to ask the questions himself and answer them with us.
Oh, yeah?
With Andy and I last week and a couple other guys on Friday. He was saying, you know, you guys want to ask me about one game at a time. You know, just got to, you know, got to take them all.
Then he offered us some, I don't know, some kind of cookie.
Want the game plan for this week?
Well, he had a huge box of cookies that somebody sent him.
They weren't bad.
No? No. Chocolate chip?
No, I don't really know what they were. They were just a plain kind of cookie, not like a ginger snap, but in, you know, with a sweetener and a cinnamon snap, something.
No.
I don't know. They were pretty good, though.
Okay. All right, so what do we learn, if anything, from this game? I mean,
nothing.
You know, we learned.
What'd you learn?
Well, we did learn that.
Experts, tell me what you learned.
We did.
No, I just laughed. You go, nothing.
Well, what'd you learn?
Well, we did learn, you know, going into the game, the question was, is Aqib Talib going to be right in there starting? And he was. Now, he didn't play every play. They kind of started resting him as the game wore on, but he's going to be right in there. There's not going to be any hesitation making him your starting and probably number one corner.
Right.
Right.
But I don't know that we had any questions in that area. We knew they traded for him for a reason.
But that's what we all predicted would happen.
Right.
But it's nice to be right.
But to start the game, Arrington started opposite him, and I don't think that's going to continue.
Well, he got toasted.
Yeah.
He's struggled, you know, off and on, and he's been benched off and on for the last month plus.
Dennard is probably now your number two corner, right?
Right, because everybody's telling me that McCourty's staying at safety, even though I don't know, we didn't learn anything in that regard because Patrick Chung was out.
Right.
We don't have the answer there until Patrick Chung is back and not playing.
And speaking of Patrick Chung, boy, there's a lot of storylines
we
coming
did have
out
a
of this
very
game. Interesting tweet before the game, went just after the inactives were announced, he tweeted out, "Gotta love business." And we all speculate that obviously he's probably feeling frustrated about not being activated and felt that he was ready to go health-wise, and they made a quote-unquote business decision to not activate him. That's all right. And then soon after, the tweet was deleted from
removed,
his timeline.
Which makes it even more interesting.
Right.
If
yeah.
it just stays out there, then you can argue, oh, no,
I had a
real estate deal that went bad, and I just, oh, that was bad timing. You can't, when you delete it, it makes it seem
it's like a smoking
guilty.
Gun.
Right.
Right.
But to take it a step further, the business aspect of it is that he's entering the final year of his contract, and that, you know, I think you read into it, they're squashing me. They're keeping me down somehow, so maybe they can re-sign me cheaper because
right.
I'm the injured guy who never plays
right.
while I'm ready to play.
Right.
I know I'm reading a lot into three words, but.
Well, you know, the other business part of that decision would be they signed Gregory for decent money, and they're going to start him over me, you know,
but
or play him over me, you know.
You got to have Chung. If he, I mean, even if he's a backup, he's a better guy to have on special teams. He's a better guy to.
I can't imagine that he was healthy and they chose to scratch him.
Right.
And let, you know, Ebner and Wilson be active as potential backup safeties.
You tell me Chung can't cover kicks as well as somebody. I mean, he's one of your active 45.
Right.
If he's healthy.
So why do you think he didn't play if it wasn't health?
Keep his numbers down. That's what he's saying.
No, I know.
I don't,
why do
I don't
you
buy.
Think?
Yeah, I think that we're realistically. I know Andy's trying to stoke the flames
no, I'm
here.
Not.
Realistically, I don't think there's a possibility of them trying to keep his numbers down.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Chung keeps his own numbers down by missing so many games.
You have to be mean about it, but...
Well, but, you know, I think that job has already been done, you know?
He also keeps his numbers down by never really having that impressive numbers.
Well, but,
I think he's trying to paint a picture that he was a healthy scratch on Sunday.
Right.
I personally don't think there's any chance that he was a healthy scratch. Now, was he well enough to go?
The guy who normally is not willing to, like, side with the team because really likes to see everything.
Andy, I've said this many times. I take everything on a case-by-case basis.
So you think there's no chance he was healthy and ready to go?
Healthy enough to play? He may have been healthy enough to play. But I don't think they felt like he was healthy.
We'd rather have Gregory at 100% than Chung at 80%.
And I think they
To me, it's not a Gregory-Chung thing.
Or Ebner and Tavon Wilson at 100% than him at 80%.
I think they also looked at it, Andy, knowing that they had another game coming up on Thursday, and that may have played a part. And I know that they claim. Here's where I'll flip sides on you now, and I'll give you what you're looking for. They say they don't do that. I think that's bunk. I think they do look at the schedule.
You have to.
And they do make decisions not just with that game in mind, but with the big picture in mind. And if you don't, you're not doing your job as a coach. I know they claim they don't do that. You know, if a guy's ready to go, he plays. You know, whatever. You know. I don't think I think that they have to look ahead. I think it may have had something to do with Dan Conley and Logan Mankins. Now, there may have been a degree on both of those guys, but I think they probably erred on the side of caution knowing they have another game coming up on Thursday. And I think that one of those guys, minimum, will be back Thursday
maybe
night.
Maybe Conley, not Mankins.
Well, I think that's the one because you're talking about a back injury can be weird, can be repetitive. It can get worn down, I think, more. Whereas if you have a bad ankle, you have a bad ankle. It takes some time. I think the Conley one could be where two games in a short period will wait so he's healthy for the second one. Because you fear, okay, if he gets back out there, now he's going to miss both of them if we rush him back out there this week. So maybe they took that
in. You know, getting back to Chung, when it comes to contract negotiation at the end of the season, if they decide to sit down with him, durability is part of that negotiation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. I know he doesn't want to get hurt, and he's the victim of circumstances. But when I'm sitting across from the guy, I'm like, look, you're missing a lot of games. That's part of it.
And that's fair.
You know, it is.
But it's fair if you're hurt.
Oh, yeah.
I think what he's saying is it's not fair if you're not hurt anymore and you're still being left out.
Right.
So that's where I think this comes into play.
Yeah,
I don't think he would say he didn't hurt his shoulder or whatever. I think he's trying to say I'm healthy. Now you're lumping on to
right.
it. You're adding on to when I was actually hurt.
Yeah.
The other injury situation that I think is going to be interesting this week is Hernandez, and because I think that everybody is automatically assuming that he's in that category that I talked about as well. He could have played Sunday, and maybe they looked at it and said, "We don't want him playing two games in 5 days." So let's. You know, let's err on the side of caution. We'll have him back for the Jets game. That may very well be exactly what transpires. But I also I had heard some rumblings from people that said that he didn't look very good in practice last week. He struggled through the week of practice, I think was the way Schefter put it.
Well,
late last week.
And how does he know?
And because people are telling him. And I think that's interesting to me that you're just automatically assuming that he's back. Like
well,
that he could have
played. Do you
played
find it time. Curious not, the last couple days? Do you find it curious that when he's in the locker room, the other tight ends aren't, for the most part?
He has been the lone guy in the locker room a lot the last 2+ weeks.
Right.
On the phone a lot. It was when I was joking that he was calling home to ask about the baby every 5 minutes. But now that you talk about it, maybe.
You know, is that a sign that
I hadn't really noticed that, but it's interesting.
There's been times where he's like two or three players in there.
Yeah,
like
maybe he's lonely. Rehabbing. So he's on a different schedule
exactly.
than the other guys. Is that you mean?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that, but it's not far fetched. Something like that could happen.
All right. Lots to talk about. Webradio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's Jets week. And as Bill Belichick said in the winning locker room that you can watch on patriots.com, he told the guys, this is Wednesday night. Treat this as Wednesday night because of the short week. So we have to do the court sort of the same. We'll have a show tomorrow from 12 to 2, but that'll be it. And then it's the pregame social around, 6 o'clock on Thursday? At 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Yep.
Much to Eric's
So we'll have a show today, show tomorrow, and that's it for this week, and then it's Thanksgiving. So, get your calls and emails in now.
A lot to either bitch about or rant about.
Yeah.
The Chandler Jones thing is, I think, the interesting one, like kind of getting lost in the Gronk injury. And I know we all saw him, and he didn't look severe, but...
I deemed him okay.
Well, yeah, and I think everybody kind of did, and even he sort of looked like he did when he stood up and kind of like just almost breathed a sigh of relief and like tapped it a couple times. Oh, okay, yeah, it's still there. It's still working. So I don't know if it swelled up after the taping, whatever, but, I mean, he's a pretty important part of this
Absolutely.
Team.
Oh, yeah.
You could argue in a different way he's irreplaceable. You know, he's not Gronk. He's nowhere near as irreplaceable as Gronk, but... For this defense that can't afford to lose any pass.
I do worry about him, though, too. I think he has hit a little bit of a wall
well. No question.
Yeah.
100% has.
And
but
also,
you still need him out there.
Yeah.
He's still better than your safety, your hard-hitting run stuff. Safety,
Trevor Scott had a pretty productive game.
Oh, and you see what ended up happening, though, too, is they clearly felt they wanted to put Ninkovich over there, and they kept Cunningham on the left side when, you know, they were in base. And, you know, so now you're moving to, you know, to Andy's point, Chandler Jones is a pretty important guy. Now you're moving two guys to replace mm-hmm. him, and then you're going to Trevor Scott, maybe moving Cunningham to that inside slot that he's had some success in to get Trevor Scott in there. So you're chipping away a little bit at a spot where I don't really think that you're tremendously deep to begin with, at that edge spot. So, yeah, that's an injury to keep an eye on.
In terms of the Jets going forward, the Jets are playing it really humble this week. You know, everything that – comes out
makes me feel real good as a Patriot
of Rex Ryan. You know,
it's what they did last year.
I think the Jets are winless when they don't talk smack. I don't know. You could argue that they don't always win when they talk smack because they're always talking smack. But when they do this and they do the humble approach, I'll bet you they've never won a game. Yeah. And the 45-3 game is an example of that. They came in with all the respect in the world for the Patriots and they played like it too. So that's a good sign for the Patriots.
You know, now that's not the case with the Daily Rag, the Daily News.
I think it was the Post. If you
was it the Post?
Get your rags.
Well, they're
straight.
Both doing it. The Post.
Get your rags straight.
The Post had a funny picture of Rex Ryan with a turkey on
awesome.
A plate. Bill Belichick's head in the turkey, and it said that Belichick's brain lock, you know, is the reason why Gronk isn't playing. Thank you, Bill.
Butterball too.
Yeah,
Butterball.
Butterball Bill's brain lock. You know,
and I didn't even. I thought that was a little bit of a stretch. I mean, isn't a Butterball a fat guy?
Yeah,
well, he's calling him a turkey. Butterball turkey. Yeah. Thanksgiving.
Oh, then it should
have
been capital B.
You know, thanking Bill
to
Belichick.
Me, a small Butterball is a fat guy, and I don't.
Right.
If anything, Bill is far better. He's been working out with the strength staff, and he's now in decent shape.
And only they know what they with how they intended it. But I just thought with him served up on a platter,
right.
they were calling him a turkey.
Right, turkey move. You know, so thank
capital
you for you know getting Gronk hurt, and then in the Daily News. I think Gary Myers had a column about how, you know, Bill Belichick hasn't won anything since Spygate and he's not a genius anymore and all this stuff. And so.
And you're mad about that because
well,
you think he should be president.
Interesting footnote.
Yeah.
You know, Gary Myers' recent book had, you know, cooperation from 31 of the 32 NFL coaches.
Except for.
You might guess to which one is the one that Gary Myers was making fun of.
But it had plenty of cooperation from the owner, including dinner with the owner.
So. But so it's Jets week for everyone else except for the Jets. They're playing it cool this week, and that's fine. I think going into this game, I am worried.
Or Freddie's too.
You know, I have not changed my stance yet of refusing to call any game a blowout going in or an easy win. This I don't think will be an easy win. I think the Jets defense, even without Darrelle Revis, can give the Patriots trouble. They know the Patriots very well. And they know the Patriots personnel very well, especially on offense. And I have a lot of respect for Rex Ryan as a defensive coach. They can certainly give the Patriots trouble. Absolutely. I mean, they took them to overtime last game here in Gillette. So, you know, I don't see any difference between the two teams between now and then. Maybe the Patriots offense is clicking a little bit better than it was then. But, you know, and it could turn into a blowout. That's not to say that the Patriots can't blow them out, but I'm not going to be surprised if this is a close game going into the third or fourth quarter. You know?
And then we'll have Bill come to the bout we expected, another AFC East battle.
No, Bill will then go to the whiteboard with the defense, and then they'll blow them out.
I'm expecting a tough game.
Yeah, I think there's no way, like Paul, I think you said – Thanksgiving night, national game. You know that Ryan's
we'll get into this now.
You know that Ryan's going to have the team, you know, ready to go.
I just think that they've exhausted all their chances. They still think they're good. And every time they win a game, they whip themselves up into a frenzy thinking they're good, you
right.
know, validating that they're good. And if you look at their schedule, they're not good enough to just pencil in wins, but if they can find a way to steal this game, there's a very, very legitimate chance that they end up running the table
sure.
going 10-6.
Yeah.
They play nothing but garbage after the Patriots. They play five straight stiffs. Now, they're not good enough to say they're just going to beat those five stiffs because right now they're one of the stiffs.
Right.
But they have an opportunity to finish.
Second place in the AFC East.
They have an opportunity to finish 10-6. And with all that has gone on in the first 10 weeks of the season for them, if they can finish 10-6, I think they'll be a dangerous wild card team.
Yeah, yeah.
Trouble
and,
is, I think that goes the other way. And if the Patriots go up 17-0,
they could easily
pack it in and say, "Where are we golfing in January?"
Six
right.
and 10, yes.
Right.
I think
the fans start booing.
Soft
no,
mentally,
no
oh, yeah.
doubt. And
oh,
that's
yeah.
why I brought that up. The part about the schedule, the environment, and Andy, you know, made fun of me, but that can work both ways. That home crowd, if the Patriots go in there and go 80 yards for a touchdown on their first drive, and then all of a sudden. Sanchez throws a pick and it's 14-0. That Thanksgiving crowd that's
right.
going to be all liquored up.
They're going home.
Is going to yeah. no. They're going to sit there and yell at Rex and yell
right.
at the Jets all night.
Right, right.
It's going to work against them. That's why I think a fast start is imperative. But yeah, if the Jets can hang around, that'll be a significant edge for the home team with that crowd. I think.
All right. It's media day here at the Patriots because even though it's Tuesday. This is the big day where all the conference calls from the opposing coach and star player come in, and that means free food for the media. They're serving up turkey sandwiches today in honor of Thanksgiving, which, you know, you're going to have turkey in 2 days. Do they have to serve turkey? I don't know. Anyway, We're going to have a sandwich, and after that, we'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're going to, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel, and now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino, and Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti, and his unit is attached to his hip. And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one knew, ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Good holiday story.
Good for, you know, for the family.
For the family, yep.
I know you were bitching about these sandwiches, but these are one of the better things they've made here at the
stadium. I have to say they are delicious. It's, you know, the turkey gobbler, they call them, where they put the stuffing in the cranberry. I said, you know, the PR staff likes to be cute. You know, so it's Thanksgiving. Let's give them turkey. But we're all going to have turkey in 2 days. So
how come when I said that, I got made fun of?
No, because you refused to eat it.
I don't really like it. That's why I refuse to eat it.
You're on a hunger strike.
Yeah, I'm wasting away.
No, they're delicious. They are delicious.
Yeah.
It's got the cranberry sauce.
I said that exact same thing and got made fun of.
No, you don't want to eat turkey because you don't like it. You didn't want to eat it because you don't like it.
That's why I didn't eat it, but I said I'm going to have it in 2 days.
Well, no, that's my thing.
It's kind of like the fish and chips thing when you guys go to London. You're going to probably have fish and chips when you go there.
Right. But you don't like turkey in general?
I'm not a big fan. No, and I don't like cranberry sauce, which those had cranberry sauce.
See, I like – who doesn't like cranberry
sauce?
The
mixture of cranberry sauce and the mayonnaise with the stuffing.
It's great.
It's a great flavor.
It really is. It is good, I have to say. But like Paul says, we're all going to have it in 2 days.
And right. I'll be having
now,
this.
Are we going to have
3 days?
We're going to have any on?
Oh yeah,
New York, you
will.
You think?
Yeah. Always.
Well, when I say we, I mean the
in general,
the general population that isn't going to the game.
What else are you going to do in the lobby for 8 hours?
I know. Yeah,
you can watch the game.
Paul's referring to the fact that I guess the hotel we're staying at is overbooked, and we are getting bounced out of our rooms at around 1 o'clock.
And the largest corporate client is getting bumped. That's a little weird.
Well, maybe we're not. Maybe there's a bigger client coming in, you know? So we're going to have to hang around the hotel lobby. When the buses leave for the game, about 5:30? 5:45.
We got a good 4 hours to kill.
Yeah.
But there'll be a game on.
Yeah.
So you can just watch football.
Yeah. 4 hours listening to, where are the buses?
Or you could just
head
over to the
stadium.
I'm
telling you, to be a fly on the wall listening to him as soon as you guys are ejected from your rooms.
You know, you could walk to the stadium, right? It's just a couple highways you
can
cross.
Yeah.
Get a car, fat man.
You're a bad person.
Who?
You.
What did I do?
You pointed to Fred.
Oh, I know. That wasn't a Fred story.
We were talking about somebody else, and you pointed to Fred. Really?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I shut my mic off.
It didn't matter.
Should I have, like, pointed to all you? Shut your mics off. Now I get a burp.
All right, let's get to the emails.
I don't hold it in well like Paul does when he does that thing where he sucks it in and he can kind of deflate it.
Well, that's
I'm going to let it out.
That's the that's the post-lunch
the
meeting, the post-lunch meeting when everyone's just had, you know, lunch and then they go to a meeting and everyone's like, well, the fourth quarter numbers, you know, everyone's like holding in burps and, you know.
Speaking of meetings, next time you have one with Jonathan, ask him to tell the story he was telling while walking through the office earlier today.
Oh, yeah?
Phenomenal. Not sure he understood there were, I don't know, 40 people working in their cubes. I could hear every word, but it was one of the more entertaining stories I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
I missed it.
With a bunch of F-bombs and would have made a good R-rated movie.
Chad writes in at webradio@patriots.com. He says, this is absurd. We complain when the Patriots are sucking eggs, and now we're complaining when they win by a mile.
Who's complaining?
I want intelligent people to
Ron
say
Borges.
Intelligent things
oh, okay.
instead of this shock jock crap that folks are spilling because Coach Bill decides to keep the players playing. This is the game of football as I understand it. I don't understand how benching players helps us be better. A star player got hurt at the end of the game. It happens. It's a tough game to play, and the best are playing it. There is no crystal ball in football or in life. Do we stay in our homes because we might get hit by a car on the road? Who are these fools that think good strategy is to play the game conservatively? Everyone is paid to play 60 minutes. That's the allotted time to play. Players gain confidence from winning and experience. These elements do not appear on the bench, in practice, or anywhere else but on the field. To play or not to play, I say play and work hard. Work the hand you are dealt the most effective way possible. Anyone who thinks otherwise is a pussy.
And all that.
So
well, I mean, we talked about this earlier about it was just a bad break. He's on all of those kick teams, the extra point teams, even in other blowouts that they've had this year. I do kind of understand what some people are saying, though, about at that point in the game, you're up 35 or whatever. Why does your all-pro tight end need to be on the extra point team? Why couldn't you get his backup to go in there at that point just to be completely safe? Why is Brady still throwing passes on, you know, when they're up by 28 or whatever? You know, why isn't Ryan Mallett in there?
That's a separate argument.
No, but I mean, it falls along that line of, okay, when is the game comfortably in hand?
No, but see, I don't think
I understand some
people's
arguments
comfortably in hand. I think it was, we basically have one PAT team. There's not a full backup team. You see it all the time.
No,
teams pull all their starters, and half the time they'll have to call a timeout because the backup scored a touchdown, and they only have eight
Someone's
or nine
got
guys
his pants
on the
PAT off on the sideline.
Right. Yeah. You see a guy running on with his helmet because he was an idiot and didn't know the first PAT team still has to kick.
Yeah.
To me, the Brady thing is arguable because of what the guy said. You learn by playing. If you wanted to get Mallett more snaps, you had an opportunity to get him more snaps. To me, that's always the backup quarterback option.
I was thinking about that, but even then, you run into the chance of being criticized because if you're going to bring in your backup quarterback for real experience, okay, that's assuming that he's going to really play and you're really going to use the playbook the same way if it was a tie game.
Well, you did with your starting
right,
quarterback.
But you were still throwing. You're still hitting Welker crossing the middle.
Well, I don't know. I think that was just to, you know, move the chains. I think when they got close, they're just running the ball.
But that's what you do with your backup quarterback.
No,
too.
but then he's really not getting the same
That's
experience.
Not better than standing on the sideline.
You can't Wait a minute.
Even
wait
if
a
it's
minute.
Halfway better,
well,
it's better.
It's even, you can't it's not really get
the backup
true
quarterback
experience.
First of all, I understand it's a blowout, so it's not necessarily something to make you feel perfectly comfortable with, but a third and eight throw in the fourth quarter of a real game is giving you more experience than, as Andy put it, standing on the sideline. Now, I disagree totally with the rest of the email. I didn't really see anybody complaining about the win. So that's what he started off with. I can't believe the shock jocks are complaining about the win. People are disappointed that Gronkowski got injured on a meaningless play.
Right.
Now, the PAT team itself, I sort of agree with Andy that, you know, that is what it is. You can't take a guy off the PAT team because you feel like he might get hurt. But Eric's larger point, I'm fully on board with. I don't have one reason on the positive side for why my guys are in the game in the last 5 minutes of a 35-point game. You can't give me one reason. I can give you about five possible reasons why it would benefit to have backups in there. Not all backups, because I understand it's not college and you don't have a, you know, 80 scholarship players to throw out there. But you get your Brady's and your Welker is like been stumbling through the last month. And as Andy pointed out accurately, in the middle of the fourth quarter, he was the guy who was catching passes from Brady with a 52-24 lead.
Yeah. And you can
that
pretty
makes
much
no
replace
sense to
all
me.
Of them. Because when they chose to, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, Salas came in.
Yeah, exactly.
Shanko came
exactly.
in. Mallett came in. Petras was in. Cannon was in. I mean, you emptied the bench, quote unquote. You brought everybody
right.
in you possibly could, and you came pretty close to replacing everybody.
Mm-hmm. But I hate that argument. You can't do it. Well, first of all, as is the case with every team, there are the players that are more important than others.
No,
so,
Bill said that. You can't
so
do
if
that.
Nick,
Bill
so,
said no.
So if Nick McDonald is still in there, I'm okay with that. Because if he goes down, I can put Mitch Petras in, and
Bill
I don't really feel any different
that.
About it.
Bill said you can't let one person know he's more important than another.
I also saw a documentary 2.5 weeks ago with him and Jimmy Johnson, who said exactly the same, the opposite thing.
Well,
you know
Jimmy
when else
Johnson
they,
said it.
You know
yeah.
when else
and he
they,
was right with them nodding.
But you know when else they tell you that? When you cash your paycheck, and Brady makes $17 million, and you make $382,000. That tells you there's
I'm
a
sorry,
different value
right.
on everybody.
Are all these people that are telling us how you know we're little babies, would they all be acting the same way if Brady got rolled up on mm-hmm. it and was out for
yeah,
the year?
Exactly.
Throwing a pass in a 52-24
well,
game?
Yeah. And
there's
the
no way they would be sitting there saying, that's what Bill does. That's what you do. That's you play football. This is 60 minutes.
The other,
no,
you
play until you have the game won. And then I think in the long term, the benefit is, yeah, let's why make him play 70 snaps when he only has to play 50 this week?
Mm-hmm.
That's beneficial.
Well,
yeah.
the best
yeah.
argument
that helps
I've
you a
heard
little
is,
bit.
Especially this week where you have a game on Thursday.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you should be looking at the long
looking
term
ahead.
And the short term.
Exactly.
I couldn't agree more with Eric on the larger point. Now, the the PAT team, if that's how Gronkowski, there's nothing you can do about that.
And it's going to be a meaningless play, whether it's the first PAT of the game or the last.
Right.
You're going to say, son of a bitch, we lost our all-pro.
That's, I was going to say, and the argument.
I can't argue with Bill for not removing him from the PAT team. It's a brother-in-law play. You don't expect. That's a tough break.
He tried to justify it, though, Bill did, yesterday on the conference call. He might have even done it on the radio. I didn't hear all of it. But saying, oh, you don't know how many times I've seen a game that should have been a win be a loss because of a blocked kick.
The easiest, way, to lose, the easiest way to lose a game is to
when you're up by 35, you are in no jeopardy with 3 minutes to go. You are in no jeopardy of losing the game. Zero.
And none
whatsoever.
The thing that bothers me about that is not that he said it, because he's a coach and he's trying to sort of cloud the lines.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
It's the people that just eat it up. You see?
Were those people the ones interviewing him?
Might have been.
Well, wasn't that in the conference call?
That was in the conference call. I don't know.
Well, he said the same. Did he say the same thing?
I don't know if
EI?
He did say the same thing on.
Well,
on
but EI, yeah, but. Okay, yeah, Andy, I'll play right along. Yeah, they eat it up. Like Bill said, like Dale Arnold this morning. You know, well, that's the way Bill does it.
Yeah,
but does it make it right?
Well, the other thing that I have a problem with is people say, you know, like they haven't finished games this year, and you're sending a message. You got to finish games,
and they finished that.
That's not finishing a game. We need to prove they can finish a close game, not a blowout.
Yeah.
The only way you could get value in that is if you let them score four touchdowns, so it becomes a close game, and now you ask them to finish.
I will say, with the exception of Brady, okay, you know, you come to a game like that. I'm a coach. I don't want to be getting into choosing. Okay, you're in, you're
Welker.
Out. You're in, you're
Welker's
out. You're
hurt.
In, you're out.
I think he's the easy. I think, you know, Welker's easier
Fred,
than Brady.
Fred,
with the exception of Brady.
Fred, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Do you think that in the NFL they have like a first team and a second team?
They have substitutes.
So then, why do you not
given a situation?
So
you
don't
have substitutes.
So you don't have to choose. You say,
but you don't have a substitute for every player.
Well, you can if you want.
Well,
yeah, you absolutely can.
It's just not enough
53
players.
There's 53 players on the roster, and you only need 44 to have two strings on both sides.
I mean, how many times in training camp do we hear Scott O'Brien say, "All right, give me the twos on backup punt team"?
Yeah. Right. Now, in training camp, it's a little different because you have 80.
But you can still.
You can have. Eric is right. You can still have twos. And they do.
Not technically, but. Well, just because 45 minus 3 for your specialist, now you're down to 42.
No, what I'm saying.
You don't have enough for everybody to have a backup. I'm just saying, you don't technically have enough numbers.
You don't.
But what I'm
saying, if you're going to have a backup for somebody, you should have a backup for your all-pro tight end.
My point would be you can get Wes Welker off the field, who's already hurt. To me, he was more of a guy to get off than Brady.
But
he's already hurt, and you're running him across the middle in the end of a meaningless game.
Exactly.
Brady, at least you can argue, he's as healthy as he's ever been. You know, our protection has been good. Whatever. But Welker is already dealing with something, and you're running him over the middle when he's already hurt in a blowout game.
I mean, you have a two-deep depth chart every game that you go in, so you know if someone gets hurt, the guy who's going in knows he's going in. So I don't think you have to pick and choose as much as you think you do.
Yeah, I think you do.
Now there might be one guy who has to back up three spots.
You know, Welker, Gronkowski, Brady,
talking about
Ridley.
The math.
Wait, are we asking this for like sensitivity purposes? Is that what we're talking about?
I think that's what he's talking.
Is that what you're talking about? Like,
everybody
got replaced but me. I guess I'm number 55 on the roster.
And you know what? That guy. He knows he's number 55.
He knows it. You're right.
You know
why he knows it? Because he's probably only been here a week, and he'll only be here a
week.
When
Derek Martin is out playing cornerback, he knows. Hey, I'm a special teams guy. I don't really play offense. I don't really play defense.
And he's excited.
Matthew Slater knows. He's a special
teams guy. I actually think those guys like to play.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
I'm playing defense in an NFL game. I'm not just covering kicks this week.
No, you know, in high school, it is a big deal just to get in the game.
I think it's a
big
deal
in the NFL. If you're one of those guys.
But, you know, I'm not, as a head coach.
Didn't Larry Izzo used to talk about getting excited?
Yeah, remember the interception he had to preserve that shutout?
They get excited. It's their turn to play. Yeah. Who cares if it's not real action?
Yeah, I just, you know, the whole thing about, all right, now I'm going to figure out who's going to be in and who's going to be out.
I just think that you're making it out to be so difficult. It's not hard.
Fred makes it sound like you'd need like 20 timeouts in a row to possibly
like you have
figure
this,
out.
All of these scenarios are all,
you preach every game is, you know, the same. Every game is 60 minutes, except this game. We're going to treat this game a little differently.
Fred,
game is different.
Fred, do you think that they played 60 minutes in that game? When you got to the middle of the fourth quarter and you're up 52-24, do you feel like they finished that game pretty well?
Sure.
Do you feel like they put their foot on the throat?
Yes.
You saw enough, right?
Yes.
That's what the coach is preaching. It's not like a literal 60 minutes up on that clock. Tick, tick, tick. No, we only played well for 57 minutes and 32 seconds. That's not what they're talking about.
And then against they're the Jets, about you say, well, I played, I gave you
finishing
60.
Off your
what,
opponent.
You want another 10 or 15? What are you talking about? I gave you
they're talking about finishing off your opponent, doing what it takes
we're
that week.
Taking it literal.
That's true.
But you know what, Andy? I think you're being
no.
exaggerated. But that's a great point on the other side. Play until you have the other team beaten.
Until you've taken their
soul.
Until
you've taken their will away. In that game that you're talking about against the Jets, you had to go all the way into, 70 minutes. 10 minutes into overtime or whatever it took that day. On Sunday, it was closer to 45.
And I actually have no problem with them keeping them in for the most part. It's a Brady, it's a scary proposition. But I have a problem with your argument that you can't. You can. If you choose not to, okay, my philosophy is I never put in backups. Mm-hmm. Just say it. Don't say you can't because it's this. And you can do whatever you want to do.
And I don't care about the score. Like, it's not about what the other team thinks. I care about my team. I want to put my team in the best position to succeed moving forward. And to me, putting anybody in harm's way in a meaningless situation to me is not putting my team in the best position moving forward. That's right. How I feel about it.
Exactly. And I think you have, there's a handful of players on every team that you could say, when we're in a blowout situation, this guy is done when we get to whatever point you deem that the game
especially
is over.
Especially guys
with.
Dealing with something.
Exactly.
You know?
And Gronk's been dealing with a hip injury
Welker.
All year. Welker's been dealing with the ankle. Brady, he's your superstar quarterback. He should have been out probably earlier because they're rolling the dice with him way too much in these blowout victories.
Bigger certainly issue, not throwing.
But the flip side, I like getting some guys some reps.
Yes.
I feel like one of the stories you'd see that, that guy, he's ready to go because he got those mop-up duty reps.
Exactly.
He was a little more prepared.
And, now, why couldn't we give Vicente Shenko some more reps, in the passing game instead of Gronk?
And he did go in, but I don't think he went in early enough.
Well, no. He went in on the last one instead of the...
I don't think he went in early enough.
But even a Daniel Fells, who, missed a lot of time early, hasn't really gotten a whole lot of experience with this team. Those two guys should have been on the field more. Who man? Let him go out there and be one of the blockers on the.
But don't you think though, if they did that, and like I was thinking the same thing. Geez, I'd like to see Shenko catch some passes here and see what he can do. But don't you think they'd be criticized if they went out there and said, okay, let's see what these second teamers can do? They'd be criticized for playing hard.
They were throwing the ball with the first team.
They did that with their first teamers. Why would they be criticized for doing it with their
second?
I'm
not sure they were using the same.
Then you didn't watch offense until the last drive.
I think they were just trying to move the sticks and keep the ball and, just
they were trying
close the game out.
They could do that with their second teamers. They didn't need to do it with their first teamers.
Not necessarily.
Right, the second to last drive, they took over after Edelman's second long return. I think they took over on the 39, and he immediately went to the shotgun passing. They were trying to continue to do what they had done all game long.
I will argue. I've never heard anyone
argue by a second string guy
for running it up.
Never.
I don't think I've ever heard that in any sport on any. I mean, when they
and
get
that's,
in,
that's really lame.
Well, they would criticize
who's
the Patriots.
Who's they? Gary Myers, because you got your hair across the ass against him today.
Certain radio people.
Fred, you do remember like a couple of weeks ago the Ravens got eviscerated for running it up against the Raiders, right? You remember that?
I don't.
And they deservedly so. They faked a field goal. I mean, they really went out of their way. Maybe Harbaugh has something across his ass about the Ravens. I don't know. But they
you
scored
mean against the Raiders?
The Raiders, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, did I say Ravens?
Yeah.
They scored 55 points, and I think like the second to last touchdown was a fake field goal. I mean, it was absurd. Mm. But
Raiders must have said something.
They got killed for it. They were making fun of them on NFL Network and ESPN.
Well, that is a little bit.
I think it looks worse if you have your starters in and you're throwing the ball around the field late in the fourth quarter when you're up by 28.
I was just talking about it's only the Patriots that get criticized.
No. But
no one would criticize if Ryan Mallett threw a touchdown pass late in the game.
No.
No one would criticize that. But Brady throwing passes to set up the 59
I think
point,
people raise their eyebrows.
I think people are like, what are they doing?
Because if your backups score, that you're
that's
just that
much
you. Better. Exactly.
If I let your backups go down and score on
exactly.
me, that's on me.
But I agree.
But people only
see that
about
in college all the time when they score 80 points in a game. Half those points are scored with the third string team.
Right.
It's a little different sometimes in college, though, because a lot of times the third stringers right, are way better than the starters on the other team.
But
Alabama versus.
But they don't get criticized for that.
No one ever does. Right. That's my point. No one ever gets criticized.
In the NFL, if
you
leave your starters
in, the quote-unquote right way.
You only get criticized for running up the score if your starters are still playing. If your backups are in and they score, like Paul said, that just shows that you're a bad defense. You can't stop the other team's
backup.
But
to me, this isn't even an argument about criticism of running it up. It's more, to me, doing the
smart thing for
your team. Like I said, I don't have anything that I can logically put in that left column of reasons why I want my starters to play with a 28 to 35 point lead. On the other side, I have five or six different things that I can legitimately say.
Yeah.
You know, the experience for the young guys, the rest for my starters, the, you know, you can't get hurt standing on
one,
the bench.
One thing I will say about Bill Belichick is, and it's almost amazing how consistent he is with this, is he never does anything, and I'm sure there's that lone exception.
Wrong.
But no, but he never, well, that's true, but he never does anything where you can say, well, you did it this time, so why didn't you do it that time? So if
every situation
is
different.
Very consistent in terms of, you know, not being, being letting people paint him in a corner, you know, with precedent.
He's consistently inconsistent.
You know?
No, but he's pretty consistent in that he doesn't take his foot off the gas. And
he doesn't take the foot off the gas. And, you know, for that one time where he really does want to stick it to a team, he doesn't want to have the evidence that, well, why did you stick it to this team and you didn't do it to this other
team? I think that's the most overblown part of the whole thing. Every time that it happens, we concoct a reason as to why he did it to that team.
Well, right. You can't.
There's no team. I don't think there's any reason. There's nothing.
So what's the reason this week?
There isn't. This is just the way he does it. That's it. Oh. There isn't any ulterior motive.
Like, you know, the Jeff Fisher thing.
So he's laying the foundation to have the ability to blow someone else out?
Exactly.
That's well, now you're just an a-hole.
That's exactly.
That's what he thinks.
Now you're just
never
an a-hole.
Never set the precedent.
These are the legitimate things that go through his mind.
He's out of his mind.
So that when I really do want
so,
to...
So he's that much. He's that much of an a-hole, but yet he can't tell Nick McDonald he needs to stay out there. But, right. You know, Nate Solder, you get to come out.
Yeah, I could see Joe Philbin not being able to take... You know, certain guys out and tell the
Why
other guys.
Why does it always get back to poor Joe Philbin?
I think he's a, as Fred would put it, pussy.
And all that.
Speaking of the 50 burger, Ned O'Brien says in golf, the first guy to shoot a 59 was named Geiberger.
Geiberger.
So they call the low scoring feat shooting a Geiberger. I assume 50 burger is in reference to this. It could be.
You know what? That's as good a reason as anything.
And it was a 59.
It was a 59.
So,
right.
It's even better.
Let's go to the phones on the Ace Ticket line, 508-298.
Like good factoid.
0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
He might have made it up.
They're stacked up here. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, folks. How you doing?
Good.
Were you worried about Welcher getting hurt when he was
out there late in
the game?
Don't start with that.
Yep, him. Him a little bit, but...
Oh, he wasn't caring about him.
I agree with
slow.
Most of y'all right now.
What's that?
But they do have backups. And they are called backups for a reason. and that means if we're about 30 points, put them in, let's see what they can do.
And precisely.
So look at the backup quarterback for San Francisco last night.
What's his last name?
Kaepernick or whatever. Well, anyway, Jim Harbaugh said, you know, by him giving them backup reps, you know, to make them feel a little better, throw a little better, you know. So I do agree with that. But if you have about 30 points, man, get him out.
Get him out. I mean,
cause now we're hurting right now. See, Hernandez ain't 100% yet, is he?
No.
And okay, then Gronk's out. So.
No, but you're kind of confusing a couple arguments when you bring up Gronk, because even though Gronk was actually out of the game for that drive or is taken out at any point, in all likelihood, he's going to come back in for the PAT because they don't have a full.
That was freak.
PTA,
that was a freak
PAT
accident.
PAT backup.
No, but I think
7,000 in. They can't put one out there to block.
No, they could. I'm just saying that's not really how it's done.
No, but my point earlier was your core set of superstars. You should have backups for every contingency that they're in
at
that point.
When Gronk goes out, Hooman, you do everything.
Exactly.
But the problem is when they overlap and different. Well, now what if Hooman is actually the backup at guard?
No, but you're only
not on the wing.
But I mean, you're only worrying about a handful of guys, maybe. Brady,
I know, but
Brady, Gronk, Welker, Hernandez, maybe, and maybe somebody on defense. I mean,
you're not really talking about
a large number of guys. You have
Mayo
to replace.
And Wilfork.
Brady's not on any of those special teams, so you don't have to worry about him. Welker's really not on any of those special teams. You don't have to worry about him.
As much as I hate to agree with you on this one, but you were right. On the 39-yard line, you know, Edelman made that touchdown. They kept the ball in there. They could have did it with the backup with Mallet. They could have did it with him.
And I'd like to see it. You know, everybody, the what if? Well, make yourself feel better about the what
the
if.
The other thing is, thanks for the call, Eldred. The other thing is, now that everyone criticizes Bill for it, he's never going to change because. If nothing else, he's stubborn.
Right.
And, you know.
I can appreciate that.
Absolutely. I do the same thing.
Then don't tell me you did what was in the best interest of your football team.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be doing
I'll tell you, damn it, I'm being stubborn.
Let's go to, by the way, Josh writes in, I don't agree with Paul. How many times has Belichick been pissed when the defense gives up a stupid late touchdown in a blowout win? Answer, too many. Yep. This is not new. This is what he does. He wants the full 60 minutes played well. He is not inconsistent in his approach. It is not about being up by a lot with 10 minutes left. That's Josh writing.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Matt Castle incident in Miami is the perfect example.
Yeah, you just said exactly the opposite of what we've been saying. Why would a coach be happy about giving up a late touchdown? I've never seen Bill Belichick happy about giving up a late touchdown. I never said any such thing.
I'd like him to just stick to his preseason statement that it's important to the guys who are playing. And I'm still coaching, so it's important to me, and it's important to Ryan Mallett, and it's important to Greg Salas, and it's important to Marcus Cannon.
See, people confuse knowing that the game is won with no longer trying. And that's not the same thing. I don't want to put my backups in and tell them to roll over like dogs and let the other team dominate you so they'll feel better. That's not what I'm asking them to do. I want them to go out there and continue to play your thing, Freddie. 60 minutes. You guys are on the team, too. You had the message about playing 60 minutes, too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give up a late touchdown for no reason.
Adam is in Alexandria, Virginia. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
In Alexandria or Virginia?
Yeah, I just had a quick comment and then a quick question. The comment is everything you're saying about Gronk and it's a freak injury and everything is legitimate in my opinion. My thing is, why is he even on that core unit to begin with? Any Jag tight end, I would think, is capable of blocking as a winger on an extra point, you know?
I don't know. Nate Ebner wasn't as a winger on the punt team.
What if he decides?
I think Joe puts his best guys that he thinks for the job out. What if
you know the easiest way to lose a game?
Block
get a kick block.
What if he decides?
Well, not when you're
what
up
if
30.
He decide,
I'm just kidding.
What if you have a play in your playbook that turns an extra point into a two-point conversion? So you don't want to bring Gronk out there and show that, and so he needs to be out there all the time.
And Chanko can't catch. Oh, wait, he's averaged 50 catches in his career for 10 years? I can have on either argument. I actually think Gronk should be out there. If you believe he should be the best guy for the job, put him out there. You don't want kicks blocked. You don't want that to become an issue. And it's the easiest thing he does. It's the least risky thing he does on a football field. It happened.
All right, what's your question, Adam?
Yeah, the question is, I've heard you guys referring to what's going to happen when Chung comes back. Isn't Chung a strong safety and McCourty more of a free safety? Why can't they both play safety when Chung gets back?
Well, they could.
They could.
So Gregory would be benched. Yeah, because Gregory and McCourty are similar free safety types.
There's no question that your scenario is better suited for their skills.
I've been defending Gregory, but he was terrible on Sunday again. He can't tackle. He just flat out can't tackle. There was one play where
he
knows that, and a guy was trying to run by, and he was kind of trying to grab him as he ran by, and never even touched him, and he just ended up letting him run for another 5 years. I'm off the Gregory. Nice man, not a very good.
The only thing about Chung, we should bring up what we saw pregame, Fred, on the Twitter.
Well, we talked about that while you were.
It might have been when you ran to Brady.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, how's Brady?
Not in the best of moods today.
Persnickety?
I wouldn't say persnickety, but he looked like he was a little, I don't know, maybe
ragging.
Exhausted, aggravated a little bit. Maybe just, you know, this is yet another thing that he had. No, not really dumb questions, but just that it's a short week and it's the Jets, and this is just one other thing that he has to do that he doesn't really want to do, and he has to be out there.
So could he do this a lot? Ugh.
No, but I'll do it for you right now. No, but
get it, Uggs.
You're out of your mind.
Now you're reading into that a little.
I'm reading into it a little.
I just wanted to be clear that like somebody else may not have quite read that same approach.
Maybe
I just want to, because if so, I'd be going on a rant.
You can
right
see
now.
It for yourself.
I'd be going
on
the rant. If you don't want to be bothered in the middle of the week of the press conference, don't collect the $18 million a year. Feel free to go play somewhere where nobody will watch you.
Just so you know,
but I'm just saying that would be the rant if that was the way he was.
This
acting.
Is what he would have done.
Well, that stuff annoys me.
I don't.
Part of the reason your league makes $800 billion and you make $20 million a year is because they do what they think is in the best interest of the football league, and that's you playing a primetime game on Thanksgiving night in front of a large TV audience on the NFL network that makes money for your contract.
Again, this is what he would have said.
Correct. Now, I'm just basing this somewhat on what Eric may have read. Stick around. I got another rant later for Pro Football Talk, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Far be it from me.
That's a real one, though.
I have a million things that annoy me like that. I'm not arguing with you at all.
All right, I'm going up to see
Bill
now.
Your opinion.
Now you're going to see Bill.
Now he's
going to
come back and give me an analysis of Bill.
No, because we have practice after that.
Oh.
I'll be done.
So we're done with you?
Well, I don't know if there's anything specific you wanted from Brady. I'm just looking down at my notes here. I mean, there were certainly plenty of Gronk questions. Those came in the middle, though. That was kind of strange, not like in the beginning.
Yeah. But anything Jets related?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, somebody asked about Cromartie and why he's so good, and he said
he thinks you're an a-hole.
No, that actually didn't come up, but just
didn't they kind of mend defense a little bit the last game or something?
Yeah,
they
a little
say
bit.
Something
maybe.
Beforehand.
Yeah. But
like Cromartie said something about how much he does respect him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a lunatic dirtbag.
And it was beneficial that they only played them a few weeks ago because there's still some recall and it's a short week. And, you know, even though it's a team that they play all the time, there's less time to prepare. He did have one sort of persnickety comment in the beginning, which some of us kind of thought was directed at somebody in particular or a group of individuals in particular, when he said somebody asked about preparations in a short week. And he said, well, we have to prioritize our time and our resources. And he kind of paused and said, can't be out there playing video games all the time or something like that. And kind of said it with a little bit of an edge, like he was thinking of somebody in particular.
Who plays video games?
I'm
going to go with
who
Brandon
doesn't,
Lloyd.
I would imagine, on this team. But yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like that was meant for somebody specific.
Okay. I don't want to throw him under the bus,
because you know he does
play
right?
a lot of video games.
I don't think he plays video games. Right?
I have not seen him.
And he wasn't referring to himself.
No.
Yeah. I don't
Unless
think
he's
so.
Playing, like, you know, 5-year-old video games with his son.
Right.
He's a father. But I don't think he was ever a video game guy.
No,
I don't ever
mention
seeing
Madden
him.
Or
but
anything.
I know for a fact the DBs, and again, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, that he was, but you'll hear them all the time getting together to play 2K12 or, you know, something after practice.
Well,
so I know
and
that.
It's a generational thing, too. I mean, a lot
sure.
of, I mean, everybody but that age.
Brady's so much older.
The only thing is Brady is of that generation.
Right.
I know, which I'm saying it's strange that he's not one of them because it's a generational thing and that he pointed that specifically out.
That's interesting. I think that's a legit persnickety.
That is interesting.
Persnickety
they don't
comment.
Say those things for
He's not talking about Gronk. We know Gronk plays him, but
right.
he's hurt, so he
right.
can play him. Although, maybe he can't with his forearm all messed up. He'll have to play Kinect.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, Eric. Go
you
to,
need to watch
go
the
to
movie
Bill.
Night Shift.
I started to, and it was terrible,
it's just
I think,
like,
once.
You're just like Michael Keaton in Night Shift.
Right.
It's just like these things come into your head, and you can't stop
Well, I actually
them.
Stopped
like,
myself.
You're an idea
was,
man, and it just like...
Here's an idea. We feed the dolphins...
Feed the tuna mayonnaise. Chuck, call StarKist.
I was actually going to ponder is... I don't want to get in trouble here, but is there a racial divide on video games?
Oh, I don't know.
Racial divide.
I'm trying to think of guys that I think of video game players, and most of them in my mind are black.
Yeah.
On this team. Now, Gronk isn't. But, like, I don't think of Welker, Ninkovich, the offensive lineman, Brady, Mallett. Well, maybe Mallett is. I might have seen him. But, I mean, you know, basing it on tweets and different things, I'm just trying to
well,
think.
Didn't Welker, wasn't he involved in one of those Madden things where they had the contest between the players? I thought Welker was in one of those.
He was part of, I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm just asking. I don't know if it's he said it's a generational thing. Maybe it's a racial thing.
He said it was a generational thing.
That was after he had the stroke when he couldn't say the P word.
Yeah.
He was stuttering over it. I kept thinking of Mike Ditka. And Ditka was on last night.
Vishon writes in. He says, what a performance by the team on Sunday. The defense really impressed me, especially Rob Ninkovich. Part of me was kind of rooting for the Colts to win, though, just so I can see Luck off as the PFW cover this week, though. Incredibleman is a good one as well.
No. Luck off was going to be the exact cover for the exact situation that happened because Luck was off. He threw bad picks that cost him the game.
But Fred wouldn't let us do it.
Fred, who's okay with are you reffing kidding me, isn't okay with Luck off.
And Eric wanted better luck next time.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
I'm glad that we went with what we went with because
we should have had an
everybody went with something.
Right.
Everybody went with luck, something luck related.
Right.
And there was nothing that was that good. So I'm glad that we had something different.
There was a good one in San Francisco today. Spanks given for the beatdown of the Bears. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. On to my question, do you think that Arrington will be cut after the season? His role on the defense is mitigated, and after seeing that pass interference call, it seemed that Belichick has had it with him. Love the show. Paul, you rock. You were the voice of reasoning. P.S.
You're not the first to say that.
The P.S. The Sun
Second,
Life.
Second, actually.
The Sun Life postgame show blows. Oh. We need one of the PFW guys in there because there is a dramatic drop from the pregame show to the postgame show.
Obviously, it's a one-man show.
Yeah, it's
a
total different. It's a different
that's
look,
hard.
Here's what the postgame show is for. This is the reason for its existence. It's for you guys to be able to have a forum to either email or call in, invent, or celebrate. It's not a discussion show like this is. It's a different type of show. It's a place for you.
You hang in there, though, because pretty soon Andy and I are going to be part of that every week with Adam Jones. We'll get this the way we want it, and right. We'll have a pre and a post game.
Did I miss,
place for you
Did
to,
I miss a meeting?
No, no, just a lot of wishful thinking.
It's a place for you guys to have to go after the game and talk about the game. It's not like this show.
But to be fair, he lets the callers and emailers drive the bus. He just burns.
Well, fine,
choice.
Nice.
He's by himself.
I mean, that's what Fred's saying.
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's what it's so. I don't know.
Plus,
I mean,
you guys mix in some player well, stuff.
Yeah, we actually get a live player.
Who'd you
guest.
Get this week?
We got Ninko this week.
Nice.
You know,
I'm telling
that's
you,
that's a great one.
Yeah,
the PR staff
yeah,
here,
course,
absolutely.
Of course, if Tom
takes full advantage of him.
If you know Tom Brady comes out and Ryan Mallett goes in, it's not going to be as good. I mean, so it is what it is.
So Paul and I are Tom Brady.
Well, I'm including that, me.
That's how I read it.
It's funny. We're paid like Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer evidently in the running for the backup job in Pittsburgh.
He so and Lombardi Mike was Kafka. Right. It only took 12 weeks or something.
And two injuries.
Right.
Let's see.
Don't pause too long or I'll start ranting.
Chris is in Concord, New Hampshire. He says, can't wait to hear your opinions on the Gronk injury. See if they align with mine. I had to shut EEI off this morning as Dennis and Callahan were making me absolutely crazy. They kept saying that their argument wasn't that Gronk should have been pulled from the extra point field goal team with the score so lopsided, but that he shouldn't be on that team at all because he's too valuable and almost anyone else could do that job. The points I'd like to bring up about this are as follows. One, the injury was a complete fluke. Andy, stop with that. I don't know if anyone heard of that. The fact that it happened on an extra point regardless of score and not during the normal run of play is so against the odds, it's probably incalculable. And I can't wait to hear Fred pronounce that word. F you, Chris. Two, if it's such an abomination that Gronk or any other good player is on that team, why haven't we heard the complaints until now? Because it's super rare that someone gets hurt on that play. And three, if a lesser blocker, other tight end, backup, offensive lineman, other than Gronk were in that position and a crucial field goal or extra point got blocked, wouldn't these same people be complaining that the
yes.
better player should have been in that position?
Those people would be. There's no doubt in my mind those people would be.
Yeah. So this,
I don't see why. If he was never on that team, you think that's...
No, there would those people that are reactionary like that and that mock TV would be saying, you have one of the best, most dominant blockers in the game in Rob Gronkowski, and you don't use him in a key spot, and it cost you a game.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that if they had a field goal block team, the field goal team,
yes,
and out of nowhere, just Gronkowski wasn't a part of that.
Yes.
That people, if they got one blocked, people would say Gronkowski needs to be on that
Why
team?
Do you have this jag
no
out
chance.
There? I think it's a lock.
There's no
I
chance.
Think it's 100% lock.
People wouldn't even notice who's on the team.
Oh, I think those people
People
would.
Wouldn't even know who's out there. They wouldn't say, why is he out there?
I disagree totally.
I think there might be a few, but I think mostly I side with Paul on this one. I think
well, there's
most,
only a few that are doing the bitching now that he should never ever
know,
be on a PAT
most,
team.
Most people don't even know who's on those
now,
teams.
Now, Andy, right. if you're going to make the argument that if we removed Gronkowski from that team,
no,
say,
I'm not arguing
you know,
that.
After 10
no,
weeks and
I'm
then put someone else out there, that's
if
different.
You put Jake Beckett as the wing, you would say, well, the guy who barely plays, when you have one of the best blocking tight ends,
well,
that's his job, is to block at the end of the line of scrimmage.
But couldn't you put someone else out there? Who's the other side is Ryan Wendell. What if Nick mm-hmm. McDonald was on the other side?
Okay.
And that's just the way it was. That's your PAT team.
I think you could get criticism.
I don't think anybody would even know.
And if those guys are on the outside, then who's the guards?
They're going to assume.
Because if they come up the middle, now they're saying, why do you have...
No, but you have enough, whatever, whoever it is. I'm saying, you pick a guy who's not even been active for a game all year.
No, but that's
I'm saying
my
a regular
point.
Guy
people,
who
wait,
blocks.
No, these people want jags on these teams because
yeah,
they
well,
don't
Nick
want
McDonald's
important players.
A jag.
Well,
Ryan
well,
Wendell
see, I
is
thought
a jag.
Your starting guard, and he's your starting center. I know they're not Gronkowski, but they're still starters. They're still relatively important. So that's why
I
don't agree with
Okay, if Marcus Cannon was the guy out there, I don't think he would get criticized. I don't think they would get criticized.
I think they might.
I think
Maybe
people would operate under the assumption that Belichick puts that unit on the field, and that's the guys that he deems to be the PAT team.
I think
I don't think that they would say, why is Gronkowski not on the PAT team? I don't think that would happen.
I think they would. Not. I think they would ask that question.
I don't think anybody would even know.
You don't have anybody better than Jake Beckett who can block on that team?
Well, Jake Beckett, again, is an extreme example of a guy who
just
can't
even
get on the roster.
I don't think Cannon is going to be on the field. It's a guy who's more athletic and smaller. There's certain kind of mold that they want for that position.
Okay, Ben Shanko.
And
I don't think they would get criticized for that.
I think they would say that you don't trust the guy to block in game situations, but the game's on the line and he's your edge block. I think people would question it. Those people. Not a lot of people. Just like I don't think there's a lot of people claiming that Gronkowski should have never, ever been on a PAT team. I think those people are few and far between as well. I think you're talking about a vocal minority in both situations.
Let's see. Go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIN is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Great win on Sunday. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Right until the end when you lost your all-pro tight end.
I enjoyed it. You know, and so it's for the Gronk thing. That's what they do. That's what Bill does. Does it make it right? No. Do I like that these guys are in there with 5 minutes left and up by 30? No. But, you know, that's what they do. And I understand people complaining and all that, but, you know, part of me is like, you know, well, where you been? You know, this is what he does. And, you know, am I frustrated? Yeah. You know, of course that he got hurt. But hopefully Hernandez comes back this week. And like you guys said, unless you lose Lloyd and Welker and all that, they'll be okay. You know, they're going to score, you know, 45, 37, and 59, you know, without him like they have the last three games without Hernandez. Yeah. Probably not.
And, Christian, you're right. This is what they do. But even if they didn't do that and they took guys out with 5 minutes up by 35 points, chances are, though, on the extra point, Gronk would have been in there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of a little bit different than what we've been talking about.
And that's
in the
part of it that to me, that's like Andy made the comment earlier that it's two different arguments. And I agree with Andy.
No one got hurt in the time when you should actually be arguing. They got hurt in a time that it's irrelevant.
We don't think.
Well, Paul thinks he got hurt earlier in the game. He doesn't think he got hurt on the
play. Oh, now there's a conspiracy.
I do.
I think they're just saying it.
I have to admit that I do. I don't think he got hurt in the extra point. But that's me being my stubborn, obstinate self.
Yeah, I think that he might have got whacked earlier, and then that hit just did it.
Yeah,
I really do.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but now when early?
I don't have any proof of that whatsoever, and it's
I don't
just
either,
one of my whacked out conspiracy theories.
You know, it's plausible. I think it is. I certainly think that if you just look at the play, it doesn't look like anything crazy. But maybe he hit him just right, and there wasn't anything wrong with his arm, and he hit him just right.
Yeah, it could be.
You know.
You two whack jobs aren't buying.
I'm a little skeptical.
No one's talking to you, so be quiet, okay?
Christian, you know what
Paul just put a tinfoil hat on his head.
You know what I'm skeptical of, Christian, is the amount of detail that suddenly we got of this. Like, within an hour of the game, I was stunned.
Oh, it was like the Zabruta film. Yeah, it was a magic bullet theory.
You know, Belichick didn't know what happened yesterday, but an hour after the game, we knew he broke his forearm, was out 4 to 6 weeks, and it happened on an extra point. Belichick yesterday was still in the dark about it, so I don't know how that could happen.
To be fair to Bill, he hadn't talked to the medical staff.
Or apparently read the newspapers.
Not with the left. So, but onward and upward, you know, we're looking good. And, geez, I wish, who was it? I wish Houston lost that game the other day, man.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you know what happened on that one? You got mushed.
Yes.
Yes, by Freddie Kirsch, who started sending in emails to our pregame social, ripping the Texans when they were down 14 in the fourth quarter.
I was ripping the defense.
All of a sudden, they pitched a shutout for the next two quarters and lost.
Nice job, Fred.
Unbelievable. Eddie Mush, nice job.
Eddie Mush.
All right.
Okay, Christian, thanks for the call. 508-298-0398.
Hey,
the A-Stickin' Hotline.
Yep. I have some information that may not be relevant in any way, in my opinion. It's not, but it's also, I don't think, known. Evidently, there's a movement afoot. The Patriots didn't really announce the Gronkowski injury.
Right.
It happened pretty late in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evidently, they're going to be in some trouble for that.
Well, I saw Mike Freeman
wrote that
yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they'd be in trouble for it.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it
happens so late.
Injury updates always take 5-10 minutes before it comes. And
right.
I don't. If they get in trouble, it's a joke.
Supposedly, they're going to get fined.
Because they've done a lot more things. I mean, is that true? I mean, beyond just Mike Freeman writing they're going to get fined?
Supposedly, they're going to get fined.
Because I don't trust that guy. I think that guy's a bomb thrower who just tries to stir crap up.
Yeah,
I think Freeman just wrote, like, why didn't they, Like, this was weird, right?
No, he wrote the NFL was investigating and they could be fined.
Okay. Yeah, no, yeah. I've been told
hadn't
they
heard
will
it
be
beyond
fine.
Him.
That's a joke. Yeah. This league has turned into an absolute effing joke.
Well, you know, we get off on another tangent, but Paul and I were discussing in the locker room the Ed Reed situation. Paul thinks it's a joke that
I
he got suspended.
To get suspended for those hits that he, you know, I think there's a big difference between headhunting and helmet-to-helmet contact.
So you don't think anybody should
like,
get
I don't
suspended?
Think Brandon Spike should be getting suspended for the penalties that he's gotten this year. But evidently, if he gets one more, he could be suspended too. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, they got to – I mean, at some point, you know, if the fines don't seem to work with an individual,
but I don't
they
think
have to do something
I
more.
Think what they're trying to curb is a style of play.
It's a technique.
Yeah, well, this is not a bad technique play to me. That's where I disagree with you. Yeah. This is tackling a guy.
And is this a rule? Like, is there like
yeah, Ray
three
Anderson,
penalties?
They had,
it's a rule.
Ray
or?
Anderson was on
and
serious,
it goes, and there's like a certain amount of years too. Like, they had to go back to 2010 with Ed Reed. That's
right.
Why he got suspended.
So three hits in 3 years is too much.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Well, Ray Anderson was on serious.
Ray
today.
Anderson, you try to run around and lay hits all the time.
But that's what I'm
targets.
Talking about.
Ray Anderson said though that the way the rule is written and the way it was collectively bargained, even if it's just once, if they feel it was overly egregious, they could suspend the guy for just once.
I'm more for that.
I couldn't agree with you more.
That's kind of my unnecessary roughness penalty. If you think it's egregious, call the penalty, suspend him, do whatever. But to say, well, this one was questionable, and this one the next year was questionable, and this one the third year was questionable. What?
That's
questionable.
They've been showing
over 3 years.
They've been showing a montage of the Ed Reed hits over the last several years.
Yeah,
and you know what? They're all penalties.
But
they're not what I would say to just you know what Fred just described.
But let me get a clear understanding of your stance here. Do you agree that the league should make you know efforts to not clean up the game, but to change, try to minimize these head hits.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do?
Is Ed Reed a dirty player?
I don't think so.
Okay, then I don't think
so.
Ed Reed, I mean,
but I think he's not.
See, I don't even think they're head hits.
Yeah.
Like a helmet-to-helmet hit isn't a quote-unquote head hit.
Is Kyle Arrington one step closer after that hit he laid on Sunday?
I don't know. But
he didn't even get a penalty for that.
Yeah.
Which is embarrassing.
Yeah,
that is textbook helmet-to-helmet.
That to me was far more egregious than what Ed Reed did.
But what do you do in terms of the league to get guys to change their style?
Yeah, see, I don't need anybody to change. I don't need Ed Reed to change a thing about what he did on that hit the other night.
Maybe
it's
I'm
a
wrong.
Penalty.
I've never thought of Ed Reed as one of the headhunters.
It's a penalty because they ended up making helmet-to-helmet contact, and I have no problem with that being a penalty.
So basically, everybody in the league could be suspended immediately because most players have late hits or bad hits or helmet-to-helmet blows
when you jump,
their resume in the last 3 years. If you're going to go 3 years back.
When you jump and intentionally try to hit somebody with your head,
like
in
Arrington.
The head, like Arrington
like
or like
Arrington
Brandon
did.
Merriweather several
now,
years ago,
right.
Like James Harrison
to
get off the Patriots.
I will say, when I was talking with Paul earlier, I was a lot more vehement about it than I am now because after listening to Ray Anderson, I assume that there was more to Ed Reed's history than the two hits this year, one against Branch, this one that just happened, and then one in 2010. If that's all it was, I'm not so sure they should have suspended
him. But to me, these hits are all penalties.
No, they are.
But they're not something that you need to suspend a guy and legislate out of the game.
Right.
There's circumstantial hits, and I've seen this play with Sanders 8,000 times that they've shown it over Andy's shoulder. He catches the ball and is turning around as Ed Reed is already down, crouched down, arms out, not leading with his head.
That's where
I disagree. And they turn around and they collide heads. That's a penalty. I have no problem with it being a penalty and a fine. It's not a headshot.
I disagree with your description of what happened. Yes, he did turn around, but
Sanders does not duck, they do not collide heads.
He did not have his arms stretched out.
He did, Fred.
Crouched down. He had his arms to his chest.
You're wrong.
And he was at most a quarter of the way down. If he had proper technique, the way it's taught, you know, the way we were taught when we were kids.
It'd be a touchdown.
That wouldn't have happened.
because he wouldn't be able to wrap him up. It was too fast.
Well, you can't wrap up a guy if your arms aren't outstretched, and his arms weren't outstretched.
I disagree
they
with
weren't.
Your description of the play. And I don't
so, you know
how
Steve Gregory tried to do your thing, and the guy ran right by him.
I just don't know how.
Well, that's, you know,
I don't know how
you
can anticipate
the
where the other guy's head's going to be.
No, you can't. You can't. But if you're
if you want to call it a penalty because they collided helmets,
if
I
you're
have
going
no problem
for his
with
chest
that.
Or his waist, then
he was. And Sanders lowered the target on his own. Yeah, and that's why they collided heads.
I disagree. I don't think he was. I think he was too straight up.
Ed Reed was lower.
Yeah.
You don't think he lowered himself?
Just a little bit. Not
enough. But that's all you can do. You don't want to go down on the ground.
No, you get into that, you know, when you break down and you get
it. See, that's exactly what he did to me.
Yeah.
He broke down to try to make a hit. And they collided helmets, so I don't have a problem with the penalty.
And his arms certainly weren't outstretched. They were at his chest. And, you know, he wasn't looking to wrap the guy up. That's for sure.
Disagree with you. He was looking to hit him with his shoulder, and then the other guy's helmet went down.
Possibly. You know, I'm not saying he was looking
to... that's not a headshot.
I know, but I'm not... But if he had the proper technique, he wouldn't have had the headshot, whether he intended to or not.
I think that's textbook technique.
It isn't. It really isn't. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. What's happening? How you doing?
Good.
Nice to finally see a nice big blowout again, you know, and as we approach our divisional games here. You know, as far as the officiating goes, you know, I mean, it's clear these guys financially aren't reacting. So, you know, by taking them off the field, I didn't see the play with Reed. But, you know, to me, it just says that the league's taking obvious measures to get them off the field and send a greater message out there that they got to change the way they play. I don't particularly agree with it, but that's the way, you know, I see it.
Well, yeah, that's the way it is. Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's the big picture. You know,
and they've used Ed Reed twice to send messages this year, basically, for the injury report fiasco early on.
And I think that's what you do is you use high profile. That James Harrison has been in trouble for this. It doesn't do any good to get the 53rd guy on the roster that no one knows.
I don't think
these
high
profile plays
is sending a message. I think that was one of the dirtiest players.
No,
in
but
the
what
league.
I'm saying is those are the guys that get suspended to me,
high profile
guys.
Me,
and there's a reason for that.
It means nothing for James Harrison. He's a serial killer, essentially, on the football field. Ed Reed, I don't think there's a single player or coach in the NFL who would put anywhere near a James Harrison category or a Brandon Merriweather category.
Yep,
and yet
I agree with you.
You suspended him. I think that sends a major message. I'm not sure it's the message you want to send because I think it's a ridiculous message. Now everybody has to play on eggshells everywhere, and now everybody's going
to
get hurt.
That's what they're trying to do, and
but
that's why
that's the pussification of the NFL. That's a separate story.
Yeah, it's telling the young crop, basically, that, you know, if it's going to happen to Ed Reed, it's going to happen to you.
Yep.
You know, and again, it's, you know, it's trying to change culture, you know, which, you know, by the way, a key is changing the culture, that attitude of defense. In my opinion, just that sparked our defense. We started playing the way we used to, and that's getting aggressive. Just quickly on Gronkowski, I think it's ridiculous with a 34-point lead that he's on the PAT team, quote-unquote, you know, with eight guys behind them at tight end. But, you know, that's besides the point. You know, we've got to watch out and start getting these guys some obvious rest when needed. I'm not a big guy in benching people, but, you know, that kind of a game that's out of hand, get them on the sidelines. You know, we got division matchups coming up. You know, come on. We're a situational kind of a thinking team, and, you know, we got to keep our guys on the field. Hopefully 81's back. But, you know, again, going back to Tlaib, you know, I love that our guys are, you know, especially seeing it with Dennard, you know, they're playing offensively on the field, and, you know, by getting the ball back in our offense's hands, you know, we saw an obvious exaggerated result, but, you know, really good to see onto a short week. But, you know, let's get those Jets, and my punter jersey's going on, and I'm looking for trouble.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Good call. Chester brings it. He gets his points prepared.
He has his points that he wants to make, and he doesn't
waste
any time. I like it.
Dylan writes in, also dealing with the Gronk injury, it may be a blessing in disguise and finally allow him to get healthy. This team should easily be able to lock up the East without him, allowing his hip and ankle to heal, and hopefully he can be a factor in December and January.
I actually thought he looked pretty healthy the last few weeks. I thought he'd kind of come into his own.
He certainly looked good before the injury, I tell you.
He had another diving catch this week, right? Right in front of us? Or was that last week?
I think that was last week he had the diving catch.
Maybe he broke his forearm on that, and they just waited to tell us, Paul, until after the game
this
for your
week
purposes.
He made a one of those touchdown catches was much more difficult than I think it looked live. The one kind of coming across the goal line and spun around was behind him, away from the safety. I thought that was – he's a special player. I think we all know that.
Jay writes in, just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job and that I was glad to see Luck have an average to slightly below average game against
the Patriots. No, he's a Hall of Famer. Don't say that.
It seems like our D typically makes the other quarterback look like Brady or Manning out there, and so it seems like maybe we might be moving in the other direction. I'd like to see a lot more rotating to the ends and Chung and McCurdy as the starting safeties, but I'm holding out hope that Tlaib might finally be what we have been looking for. And P.S., just a quick hypothetical. If after the season ends, Romeo gets let go as part of the house cleaning in Kansas City and Rex gets fired because he sucks as a head coach, if you were the GM, would you replace Patricia with one of them? And if so, why? Rex would be able to bring his defense to the team and not have to run Bills.
Romeo.
You'd rather bring Romeo in.
And I'd keep Patricia. He'd be my assistant head coach defense or whatever, and we could figure out a way to keep it all happy. And
yeah, I would definitely be looking into that. Enough people talking about the defensive changes, by the way.
I started last point. I missed it. I saw a bunch of Tavon Wilson interceptions, including from Tavon Wilson, where the ball hits him in the chest.
But that was kind of the point I was trying to make. Like, we take those plays when the game's out of hand, and they're meaningful
when they're
positive.
Well, the game wasn't even always out of hand. I thought the Talib interception was an easy one. I saw the quarterback I expected to see, a rookie-looking quarterback, not the guy who's supposedly one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well,
but the game was, I mean, that was a 14-14 game. The game wasn't even out of hand.
For the first three quarters, I thought the Indianapolis Colts marched the ball up and down the field, and then the game got out of hand, and suddenly we just suffocated them in the fourth quarter and picked them off twice. And
more rotating at defensive end, I mean, depending on Jones's health, you don't have a lot of bodies there, especially with Justin Francis with a strange, healthy scratch.
Brian in Essex, Vermont. Isn't this the same?
nothing to see here.
You don't know who Justin Francis is?
I do.
Oh.
The kid from Rutgers. Why, is that what you said? He doesn't know who he is?
Yeah, speaking of helmet-to-helmet hits, this week's Mayo one was a terrible call. He put his helmet right in his chest.
Yeah, I didn't like that call.
It may have accidentally, a little teeny bit of his helmet may have touched the face mask, but it was not.
They made up for that the next series when Arrington jumped to hit him intentionally with his helmet.
Yeah,
and ridiculous.
I almost got thrown out on that one. I had to,
why are you getting thrown out?
Why are you even speaking?
No, the one.
No,
of
I mean
the,
right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, one of the official observers came over and was like, calm down. It's like he hit him in the face mask, and I was like, what I saw is helmet and sternum. And
you had to have one of the official observers come over and tell you to shut up.
And now we know why everybody else in the league hates us in general as Patriots.
Wow. Brian in Essex, Vermont, isn't this the same team that's been highly criticized for not playing full 60 minutes?
Here we go.
Don't you think at one point this year Belichick would like to see them put it all out there for 60 minutes? How would you do that by subbing them for the second and third string players? If the Patriots had rolled over all teams with absolutely no egregious problems all year, I think you probably would have seen some of the key figures pulled.
No,
but this
have.
Year, they've blown numerous leads in the fourth, and they've been criticized for lack of offense during the fourth.
They've blown
this,
blowouts? I just
this was
those.
Simply Belichick either A, silencing those critics, or B, wanting to push his team to get them to play the full 60. I don't see any problems with it, honestly. Who's to say Gronk doesn't get hit by a bus outside the stadium and break his forearm? Crap happens. It's football. How the Pats cope without Gronk is important. Not that he got hurt. Players get hurt all the time. So there.
I'll just say it again. They finished this game. First of all, they haven't blown any 35-point leads this year. So, and that. They finished very well against the Rams in London. So they've proven that they can blow a team out. What they haven't proven is, in a tight game, can they execute down the stretch properly? That's what they haven't proven. So that's what people are arguing about, not about whether or not they can win 45-24 as opposed to 59-24.
TG and NJ, with Gronk out, everybody has to step up. Who's that going to be? Hernandez, still not 100%. Welker, isn't Sexy Rexy usually good at limiting him? I'm going to go with Woodhead, more Ryan regret for letting him go. Could Shanko and who's a Manawana step up and be a factor? Lloyd, what do you guys think? In the after-the-game locker room video, the players didn't seem to be happy and excited with the win. I'm chalking it up to exhaustion in upcoming short week. As the season goes along, is it not apparent that the healthiest teams are the ones that will succeed going into the playoffs? In the recent years, it seems that postseason success has less to do with the team's record and more to do with health. If we ever get another huge lead, again like on Sunday, and we get to put Mallett in, will Belichick allow him to throw a pass ever? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think injuries are obviously huge for everybody. Last year, you know, I don't think the healthiest team won because the Giants were decimated by injuries, but that's absolutely a huge part of the equation is who's able to, avoid injuries to their key players and overcome the ones that they do have.
And it's funny, the Patriots I know they've had some injuries all year. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to key injuries, you know, you look at the Steelers with, you know, their best defensive player, arguably, and their best offensive player now hurt. You know,
well, I would say Steelers, two of their best defensive players, two of their best offense.
The Ravens.
Yeah, he's just now back, and he's not anywhere near himself.
The Ravens have had some key injuries. So we're talking, you know, teams that are in contention here. Now, the Broncos, on the other hand, with the guy that, you know, came into the season with the big question, they've been pretty healthy, but now McGahee just got hurt, right?
They've had injuries. They had, and they also lost, what's his face, to the suspension. Their linebacker, DJ Williams, has been out all year, right?
Mm-hmm. So everybody's has injuries. That's the most frustrating part of being an NFL fan is just injuries. You know, you
team that hasn't is Houston, right? Because they got decimated last year.
Yeah. Well, Cushing, but that's the only one, I think. The only major one, anyway.
That's just because he's off the juice.
Probably.
His ACL got weak.
Let's go with it.
Ken writes in, he says that Brian Hoyer, I guess he's on the Steelers. I know he tried out.
I believe they signed
him.
Did they sign
him?
They're thinking about signing him, and it looks like, according to the crap sheet, that he's won the battle with Mike Kafka.
Okay. Phil in England writes in, good afternoon, gents. Happy Jets week, although I have a bad feeling about Thursday night.
Uh-oh. Are you prepared mentally
to
lose?
Are you emotionally prepared to lose?
No. I don't. If it's the Jets, I can't be emotionally prepared. Is it just me, or is Ridley never able to punch it in at the goal line? He always seems to go backwards, especially when we run the hurry up after a big play. I have more confidence in Vereen at the moment. I'm trying to base this judgment on what I've seen over the course of the season, not just this past Sunday. And I need Mr. Football Andy Hart's opinion on this matter.
I don't think he's the best goal line runner. No, I don't think he's the worst. And I'm not sure I feel better about Vereen. Vereen has had some of his, he's had a couple good runs, but he's also had some where big holes just opened up for him, including the other day. That was him when Brady was celebrating before he was actually in the end zone, when he saw the sea just split in front of him.
Yeah, and Ridley did have a touchdown run in the possession before that, although I do agree with Andy. I don't think
he's a lackluster.
I don't think he's a great
goal. You know, we've even seen him do the turn-the-back thing on the goal line. Yeah. So I
think the hurry-up thing is a problem on the goal line. I don't think that's worked very often.
Nope. Michelle writes in from Stockholm. There is no such thing as running up the score. Blame the Indy defense for not stopping our offense. Blame Luck for turning the ball over, or do as the rest of the league and blame Tebow. What are they supposed to do? Take a knee for 11 minutes, have Brady throw an interception in the red zone? Enough already. The game is played for 60 minutes, not 43, etc. I won't comment on Gronk. He'll be missed, period. I thought we played a very well-balanced game on all three sides of the ball Sunday, and I was especially intrigued with the way Talib was anticipating the run and lined up looking at the line of scrimmage instead of facing the receiver face-to-face, though he played well over my – thought he played well over my expectations. And P.S., after watching Monday Night Football, I'm fearing for Brady's life. Who's going to block Smith? I know we have a better O-line than the Bears. The whole league pretty much does, but still –
Mankins and Solder. They'll be fine over there. Well, hopefully Mankins.
And to me, they find ways. They'll adjust the game plan, and they'll get the ball out of the hand quick
enough.
They
also don't do what some of these teams have been doing. I watched some of the highlights. I don't know if it was from last night or a package they put together, because Gruden was making a big deal out of the end tackle twists and stunts and things they do with the two Smith brothers. And you know, not really brothers. One's black, one's white. And you see all these teams where a lot of them, two guys block Justin Smith, and Alden Smith comes free. You don't see that too often with the Patriots. More often than not, they have their games correct so that they pass off and they stay together. It's part of why they're so good, that they're not necessarily always the most physically talented, but Dante whips them into shape, because if they don't, then they don't play.
I agree.
Dan is in New Zealand, and he writes in, it's been a while, though I thought I'd drop some thoughts. First, an apology to Kevin. I know it must be a first, right? I finally sat down and watched Ted. Wasn't too bad. Not laugh out loud continuous, but still had some hilarious bits, and I totally forgot that Kevin had wrecked the ending, so it didn't affect the outcome at all. But now that I think of it, you still suck, Kevin, for doing that. Fourth quarter, 10 minutes and 25 seconds roughly left. Check out how cool he was under pressure he had behind him. I guess he means Brady. He basically checks behind him, looks like he thinks I got time, turns back and guns it to Welker, who ran a fantastic route. Has he changed in your guys' opinion on how he is seeing the pressure as opposed to the end of last and the start of this season?
No, I think he still anticipates some pressure.
I thought he did that a lot on Sunday, actually.
Pressure in my head. Got to go.
And how good was Brady on third down yesterday? He seemed to be just so relaxed, even when on numerous times we were third and 11 or third and 8 on several occasions. How does he rate against other quarterbacks in the league this year for that stat?
I don't have the stats. I could look it up.
So
I'll look it up on my phone.
All right.
I don't really have much worries about how Tom Brady performs or looks or whatever.
I'm going to suck up.
No, I just telling it like it is. I don't, I mean, his
I
his
think
poise.
Tom Brady's great.
Do you think he's, I mean, his poise or what?
Why don't you get off the wagon?
Okay.
That means.
Frank in upstate New York says it's.
All right.
As far as in or out with these players.
In or out.
Let's be realistic. It's a no-win situation. If we put too many second strings in, we are being disrespectful to the other team.
No, you're not.
No one ever argues that.
People love to make straw man arguments.
If we keep playing and we don't lay down, then we're running up the score. If we don't replace someone, then we're ahead. When we're ahead, then Bill is being too risky.
You don't even believe your own crap. Who is this? This person?
It's straw man.
Everyone reached down and squeezed them. It's a man's game.
Yep.
You play to win
your
the game, and no matter what, every team we play gives 110% of themselves to beat us. What if Gronk is not in, and the defense comes hard, and the kicker gets injured? No, France. It looks like we are going to win the war. You can sit this offense out.
Keep trying to make it out to be an issue with running up the score. Because that'll make you feel better. That's not what the issue is. The issue is doing what's best for your players to get them prepared to play the rest of the season and moving forward. That's what the issue is. It's not. No one's going to get mad at you for being disrespectful for putting in second stringers. That's never happened in the history of the world that someone looked at that as disrespect with a 35-point lead putting in backups.
It's true. It's never happened. Quick update from the stat sheet. Tom Brady is second in the NFL, trailing only Ben Roethlisberger, on third down passing. He has a 113.4 passer rating on third down, 63.9 completion percentage, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Good thing he still has it. Pablo in Mexico City.
Comments like that, I don't even know who he's arguing with.
Just another straw man argument.
Who's he talking to?
He's talking to the zero people in the world that think he lost it.
Who are you talking to? Seriously.
Well, it doesn't matter.
That's who he's talking to. The people who think he lost it.
But no one said that.
Exactly.
So who's he talking to?
Mike Felger, Fred Kirsch, same guy.
But you honestly believe you're talking to somebody, don't you?
Pablo in Mexico City says, that was one hell of a game, and it feels like our D finally played well against a competent offense. Hopefully we can settle on Dennard and Tlaib as our starting corners, as I think a settled rotation will help. My question is simply, assuming Hernandez returns and stays healthy for the rest of the regular season, and assuming Gronk is out until the playoffs, what do you predict our record will be over the final 6 games? I'm going with 4-2, but I think that might be pushing it a bit. As always, thanks for the great show. Now, pushing it on which side? More wins, more losses? 4-2.
So that guy thinks they're a 3-3 team?
I can't imagine they go any worse than 4-2. I would say 5-1.
I'm kind of with Paul. 4-2 is, to me, a safe prediction. Now, I think it's funny because you're probably saying the two are Houston and San Francisco, but in my mind, they're probably going to win at least one of those.
Right. That's why
and
I think they're going
to
go 5-1
to Miami.
Oh, right. See, that's why I went 5-1. I think they'll split the two tough games, and I think they'll win.
See, I just it's think really hard you to play go the 6-0 in your
beat,
own division.
They'll beat the Jets.
Yeah,
see,
they always find ways to lose.
But your
them.
Division is rarely as bad as it is this year.
Why? You got 3 teams tied for second place.
Yeah, 3 games behind you. It's rare
oh,
that
wait,
the,
I forgot the league blows.
It's rare that the whole division, usually there's one team that's a threat. It's rare that the whole division sucks.
And it does this
year.
The whole division stinks.
And it does. And this
year,
the whole
division is not very good.
Those 3 teams, Andy thinks differently. I think the other 3 teams, Fred, are not worthy of being.
But you think every division stinks.
No, I think the AFC North is good.
But not the NFC
West. I think
West.
The NFC North is good.
I laughed out loud. I saw somebody on Twitter tweet
it
out.
The AFC South is decent.
I'm going over these Seahawks, and I just don't see a weakness. Other than receiver, they could use a little better play at receiver. This team is stacked. And I'm thinking,
terrible offensive line. No quarterback. Right?
Well, I don't know if it was the Paul Perillo and maybe it was bad sarcasm I wasn't getting.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so, though. That's not the way I read it.
I mean, do you think they have a quarterback and all those things that you need to, you know, have a good offense?
No, I don't.
Tyler in Georgia, I think what we are seeing with the whole Gronk special teams debate is it's an issue that really isn't a big deal until it is. It's very frustrating for the team, but this just feels like a bleep happens injury.
Yes.
On to Thursday, this Jets team should be featured on the next episode of Walking Dead because just when you think they're dead, they win that one game that gives them enough life to limp on to the next collapse. Like you, Fred, I just want to see them collapse and be done for the season. Hopefully, even Gronkless, the Patriots can help put them back in their grave this week. Look, I coined them the New Jersey Cockroaches a long time ago. And I
that is true. It, Fred did coin that.
They
phrase.
Just keep coming back. You know, after the nuclear war, the Cockroaches will be left, and it'll be the Jets. You know? So they, yeah, they're not dead. You run it up on them, for sure. Make it obvious. Right?
I'm fine with that.
Huh?
When you actually hate somebody, I'm okay with it. When you do your thing and you run it up on everyone so you can never tell when you're running it up on anyone, I think that's ridiculous.
Joe,
especially like the feel-good team of the NFL for the season. Andrew Luck and the whole Chuck Pagano thing. And I'm so, collateral damage. I got to run it up on him. That's ridiculous.
Joe says, I was on Andy's side with having McCurdy at cornerback, but he was pretty good in the game Sunday having that great play, and now I think he should stay at safety and keep everyone where they were in that game. And I'm sick of all these people saying karma is a bitch. They kept everyone in and ran up the score. There is no such thing as running up the score. There is an offense and a defense. The offense's job is to score points, and the defense is there to stop the offense from scoring. It's ridiculous that these wimps are whining about running up the score. Only the Patriots, though. Didn't hear anything about the Redskins, Bengals, or the 49ers this week. Just a bunch of BS.
The Redskins?
We'll score their game.
The Bengals? I mean, they won their games like 28-6.
Maybe he means last week. I don't know.
Because there was a lot of uproar over the Raiders
the Ravens. The Ravens got rightly so.
And wasn't it a specific reason?
They ran a fake field goal with a 45-whatever lead.
A play happened like shortly before that where there was a little bit of a controversy, and it's almost like Harbaugh responded specifically.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. No. Oh, no. He's emotional.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And I actually have no problem with that.
Maybe. If I didn't watch closely enough.
Whether it's in your head or not, if you thought something specific happened that, all right, you know what? I was going to call it off, but you know what? Screw you. We're doing it here. I'm okay with that.
Well, it's like
your
those teams
theory,
that,
I'm not okay
it's
with.
Like that, it's like those teams when you're up on them by 35 points with 3 minutes and they start calling timeouts. Okay, then I'm going for the end zone. Screw
you know what?
You.
Right.
Fine.
I agree.
Fine with that. Yeah. Let the clock run out. That's what the goal is here.
The one question I have is if you don't believe you ever let up or any of that, then why did Mallett play at all? Why did they replace everybody on the last series? Mm. And what's the difference between the two series?
Yeah,
to me, that muddies the water even more. If Belichick kept Brady in the whole time, if he kneeled down three times or did whatever, but why the change at a certain point?
Maybe Ernie Adams has like
punched
this,
it in the computer.
He has this algorithm that he punches it in. He said there is no mathematical way at this point that they could do it with onside kicks and block kicks and all that. So this is now we're safe. Maybe there is a mathematical formula.
So it doesn't have anything to do with this is the NFL and we're big boys and
right.
We just put it. It has to do with logic. It's when I feel like the game cannot be lost.
Right.
And
obviously they think that's further down the road than we do.
No. What I'm saying is Belichick has a logical way of looking at it. So it has nothing to do
with the
fans' blind defense of it by saying
there's
an offense and a defense and you score as many points as you can.
And is there
because obviously they didn't think that Sunday because as Andy points out rightly, they took out Brady and put in Mallett.
But that's what Bill didn't say that. The fans said that.
Well, Bill never says
that. That's what I said. The blind defense of Belichick is wrong.
Plus, is there anyone with more archaic thinking and like...
Than you?
Yes. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I would normally fall under, it's a tough sport played by tough men. And not even I believe that crap.
And
I want the goalpost back on the goal line.
And I don't care about running up the score. It's not an issue of running up the score. I don't want my players getting hurt. It's a tough game, like Andy says. It's a physical, tough game. I don't need to have my players subjected to more chances to get injured when the game is out of reach. To me, I know that some people will look at that and say, what's the difference if he gets hurt in the first quarter or the last play of the game? To me, there's a difference. One could be avoided. The other couldn't.
Dylan writes in, how was the crowd noise on Sunday? I was watching on TV, and it seemed like the crowd was much more into the game from the first snap than the other games this year. Can Eric or anyone who was at the game chime in?
I don't know. Ask Eric. Go F yourself.
Generally, when you score 59 points, crowd gets.
I actually didn't think it was that loud.
Kind of excited.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was loud around some of the big plays.
It seemed okay.
The Talib return, I thought, was a remarkable play. I thought
other times it was silent. And as I said to you, there was like 3 minutes left in the first half, and the red seats are empty. I know you return late from the club, but why do you have to go to the club early before halftime?
And then
that makes no sense to me.
And then
you cold? Oh, you need to fire you.
They all left in the fourth quarter.
Oh well, yeah.
Stadium was
even
empty.
You said you'd do that.
When I said, you know, I made a comment. I said, yeah, I can't blame them here. I'd be home too. Andy Goodall, man, he goes, why? They could set records. Something special could happen.
I'm very much against leaving sporting events early. I just am.
TG and NJ has a good point.
See, if it's a close game,
you could always see something you didn't think you were going to see. Unscripted, unknown, unpredictable. And let's be honest,
a broken arm.
Oh, yeah. And
I didn't need to see that.
Well, you didn't, because you think it happened three plays earlier, or five plays earlier, or four quarters earlier.
TG and NJ has a good point. He says, if you put the Jags on the kicking team, then during your weekly roster shuffling, releasing guys to get to 53, moving guys back and forth from the practice squad, etc., wouldn't that be disruptive to the kicking squad? Wouldn't that upset the consistency of that unit, perhaps resulting in blocked field goals or the kicker getting injured? Wouldn't you want consistent play with consistent players? Who are our best blockers, players we know will always be available to play, and put them on the field goal squad? What if they get injured? Come on, who gets injured on field goal attempt? Oh.
But those guys that come and go off the bottom of the roster are in the kicking game. Right. That's where they play.
They're coverage guys.
All right. Well, that's.
Why did he just look at me like that?
Oh, we're done?
No.
Yeah, it's too.
Oh, I didn't get my rant in.
We've got a.
Tomorrow, I'm ranting about Pro Football Talk and that pansy Mike Florio.
Okay, we'll look forward to that tomorrow.
You like him, John Rook?
Who?
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk?
Yes.
He's a douche.
John Rook's here with the playbook.
He blocked Andy.
Nice to see you.
He blocked me on Twitter.
Happy Thanksgiving, John.
Just because I brought up the point that, you know, he once wrote that Terry Bradshaw had died.
You wrote that once?
He wrote that once. Oh, he had a headline, Terry Bradshaw dead. And then he said, oh, wait, it wasn't.
John's here. Happy Thanksgiving, John.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you. Merry Christmas, too.
How are
you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Thank you for asking. Yes, it did.
Did you actually have to do it?
Do what?
I don't know. You have to pass them, quote-unquote?
Yes, you do.
The only thing was telling us there were lasers to break them up.
The only thing you can do, if you've never had them, the only thing you do is drink as much fluid as you can and take painkilling. No.
Hard liquor count?
No.
Well, what about the lasers that this monkey brought up? He said you could break them up with lasers.
I think that if they're a certain size, you can't do it.
If they're big,
right?
But, I mean, they usually when you go in, I mean, I knew what it was right as it started. And so I told them, and they're trying to test me for a heart attack and this and that. I'm like, come on. I know what this
heart.
Is. Exactly. That's exactly what I said.
My pecker.
Exactly. No, they just, and they do like a sonogram on your kidney, and the guy said, well, you have two pristine kidneys. And I'm like, great. Right, get this little, you know, grain of sand out of there.
So do you have it? Do they let you keep it?
They ask you to try to look for it, and I'm like, I'm not looking for that. Are you nuts? I know what it is. So
it's funny you said you drank a lot. I'd stop drinking because I wouldn't want to have to pass it. So I'm not drinking.
You got to pass it, dude. Nope. You got to pass it because the less you drink, the more it's going to stay in your system. You need to just work that sucker through and get it out.
Oh man. Oh well. Well, it's good to have you back, John.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good show.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back.
He's got a lot of picks to knit and nits to picks after
that.
Yeah,
I got some nits to pick.
We'll be back tomorrow at noon with our Wednesday show, and look forward at 4 o'clock to the Fantasy Football Champs.
Oh, God! I skinned my pecker! Mary's dress waves like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me and I want you only. Don't turn me home again, I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling, you know just what I'm here for.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com.
There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.